All right, everybody. Good evening. This is the March 12th, 2025 meeting of the WPFW local station board. Kamau Harris, chair of the board. And I will ask our secretary, Ellen Carter, to call the roll. Ellen.
Irene.
Here.
Verna.
Present.
Wayne. Michael Byfield.
Present.
Bill Curtis. I don't see him. Bill Curtis. Violetta.
Here.
Vanessa.
I'm here.
Susan. Sue. Okay. Tom Chase.
Here.
Robert.
Here.
Craig Green.
Oh, I'm here.
Craig. Okay, I see him. Kamau.
Present.
Michael Hirsch.
I'm here, and I also see Wayne Bruce.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Julie. I see her. I saw her anyway.
Yeah, she's here.
I'm sorry. Arthur, I'm here. Hall. I thought I had unmuted. Sorry.
That's okay. Arlen, Arthur Hall, Highland.
I am here.
David Chiasi. I don't see him. Davis Chiasi. Ambrose Lane. Ambrose Lane. Tony Leon. Tony Leon.
Present.
Mariah. Did I hear Tony? Yeah, okay. I have you then, Tony. Mariah. Mariah.
This is David Chiasi. Oh.
Okay. Thank you, David.
All right.
I thought I saw Mariah. No, maybe not. Ron Pinchback. Oh. I think I heard. Yeah, he's here. Minerva.
Present.
Michelle.
Present.
Wanda.
Here.
Dennis.
I am here.
Okay. Has Bill Curtis come in?
Oh, yes. Bill thanks, Curtis? Ellen. I'm here. Yes, ma'am. I'm here.
Okay. Ambrose. Does anybody see Ambrose? Don't see him. Did anyone hear from Ambrose?
Nope. I have not.
Mariah? Don't see her. Mariah?
She says she's joining us soon. She just
texted. Okay. All right. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
And, okay.
All right. So we are missing Ambrose and Mariah's on her way?
Yep. That's what she said.
All right. Thank you, Ellen. All right. The, vice chair, member Gordon.
Did you see Sue Goodwin?
Oh, that's right. Yeah. We're missing Sue also. So Sue and Ambrose. Okay. Anybody else? Is that good, Ellen?
Did we get an excused absence report? Excuse me, this is from Minerva. Did we get an excused absence request from Eric? I thought I saw that emailed to everyone.
No, it's not excused absence. He requested it and it's denied. Eric's not excused. He's been suspended from this meeting. All right. I'm going to ask, Member Gordon, our vice chair, to be our timekeeper, if that's okay.
Sure.
All right. Ellen, I'm sorry. The minutes were distributed by Ellen, for our past meeting. Any, amendments, additions, subtractions to the minutes?
There was a correction made, and I thank Violetta for right away contacting me, and I made the correction on the motions.
And that corrected set of minutes was distributed?
Yes, it was sent to everybody with the corrections.
Great. Do I have a motion to approve the minutes as amended?
So moved.
Is there a second?
A second.
Any opposition to the minutes as amended? All right, hearing none, the minutes are approved. As always, you can go back and address those if needed. All right, first up tonight, we have a report from management, our management reports. The program director, I don't think is going to be available. She's on vacation. I'm sorry, she is attending another event. And the development director for the station as well. So I believe we have the interim general manager, Ms. Williams, available. Could you give us some summary and background on your program development and your personal report to the board?
Certainly. I was under the impression, however, that after submitting everything that we would just be questioned. I can summarize, I guess, what's going on.
If you could just give us a quick summary. The details are in your report, and then we can field questions from there.
Okay. I apologize for not having it prepared. I was prepared to answer, not prepared to present. I do apologize. Let me pull these out really quick. Basically, from a PD first, is that we had, again, a successful drive. There's special programming coming up in the upcoming spring drive. We're going to start off with a James Brown, the next drive is going to start on May the 3rd with a James Brown special day of programming. It'll close on May the 19th, a special day of programming to Malcolm X. As I stated earlier, the winter drive went well. We had special workshops that went on. Currently, Katia is doing the programmers evaluations and trying to get those completed. She's also working with the social media to enhance our marketing ability, both for music as well as public affairs programmers. We've been working diligently to have our own WPFW app so that people don't have to go. They can actually have a little radio they can click on and it'll come directly PFW. They don't have to, it's just a little simpler. We've been stalled for a couple of months, but we think we finally broke through. So hopefully by next month I can report, or Katia can report, that it is there. We're going to have a 48th anniversary celebration on April the 26th. It's going to be at the Eloquent Touch. Navashna, who's been with Fertile Ground as well as Sweet Honey, is going to be the performer. It will have a silent auction. We have several items for silent auction, which we'll be giving there. The space holds 300 people. Our last anniversary, and at this point I'm melding my report along with Sataria's as well as Katia's. The last event that we've had as a station for anniversary celebration was 13 years ago, and we're going to start doing those again this year with the objective of getting 300 people in room, 300 listeners, programmers, LSB members, and celebrate WPFW hitting the age of 48. We've got two wonderful people working on the 50th anniversary, which is in 2 years. But we just wanted to go slow and easy on this one. So we, the last one that we had at the French embassy, I think was 600 to 800 people. As I recall, I don't know exactly, but it was very ambitious. We had three or four different bands. It was during the actual week of our anniversary. Therefore it was during Carnival and, that type of week. So we had that kind of event going on during the event. Again, very ambitious, lots of people, lots of music. This time is going to be very simple, straightforward. It's in an area that, is near Iverson Mall in Maryland. It's got a great parking lot, just for us that we can, it has a lot of slots and we're pretty sure we can get everyone in the parking lot. A little isolated, but we'll decorate it beautifully inside. I'm still looking for a caterer and things like that that can accommodate the food that we'd like to present or how we're going to do that. We haven't drilled down on those details, but we'll keep you abreast as we have. The LSB members that are helping and working with us are Kamal, Dwayne, as well as Dennis and Mariah currently. And let me see if there's anything else I need to read from the report. So that's where we are in the 40th. You'll get more details as we continue to expand. We're going to be doing a tribute to Roberta Flack and Roy Ayers. And then again, I already mentioned James Brown and Malcolm X. And we had an incredible day of programming for International Women's Month. That was this past Saturday. Where we really celebrated women along with Sophie's parlor, as well as a lot of the other women programmers at the station. And there was information as well as entertainment and a lot of edification, a lot of positive response from people about it. Should I move on to Satari or should I ask for questions?
If that's the program director's report summary, let's go ahead and field some questions on that. Okay. Is there a stack? I see Vanessa, Wayne, and then Sue. Vanessa, go ahead.
How much time, Kamal? I'm sorry. Excuse me.
Yeah, 2 minutes. Do you have a question?
2 minutes.
Yep.
Okay. Excuse the background music. I'm at Everlasting Life getting food, so that's what you hear. So I just wanted to say, I'm aware of two new programs. Both I heard today, Mozzamella and Fuma this morning, and then also Tony Browder this afternoon. And I'll just throw it in for good measure. Sophie's Parlor was kicking it today. So I'm just really, really happy. Made my heart sing.
Oh, thank you. That's what we work for, Verna. Make your heart sing. Thank you very much for that. Yeah, I should have mentioned that. Mark Thompson is part of the collective of Verna Avery Brown's What's at Stake. He's a well-known commentator and reverend, and I think he's going to bring a lot to WPFW. And Tony Browder's been here for about, I think, 2 months now, maybe a little bit longer, but he's been doing a fantastic job as well. So yes, trying to make everybody's heart sink. Thank you very much, Vernon. Vanessa, it's the V. Sorry.
Wayne.
Hey, just had one small correction. The artist's name is Navasha Dea. I had to say that because.
No, I appreciate it. No, I say Navasha.
She's a friend of mine. Navasha Dea. She used to be in a group called Fertile Ground. They're very popular. She's incredible singer. And, that's great. Great job.
Thank you. Katia is friends with her and we were trying to get, Chrissy the Shield too, cause she just got the, Grammy nod and stuff, but everyone's touring and working, which is good. So not that it's, you know, second choice or anything, but that's also, I agree. Navasha Daya is also a great choice.
All right, go ahead. I'm calling it development director, but that's not the right title. It's membership coordinator, correct?
Correct.
Yeah, you want to give us a brief summary on that, and then we can take a stab.
Okay. Her numbers are real specific. Our drive, we raised a total of $185,000, $185,435.93. We have 222 new people. And renewing was 1,237 for a total of 1,459 people. And this is significant, Satari says, because February 24 drive, we had 205 new members, and it took us 3 weeks to get that. We did all this in 2 weeks, and that's pretty monumental, and thanks to all of you who participated. and contributed to this drive because it's the first time we were successful in a 2-week drive, according to Satari, maybe in 2 decades. So it's really hats off to everyone's collective effort and really, really appreciate it. Also, the Times, I'm sure, amplified things for us and made people understand how precious things are. I mentioned already the upcoming spring drive will be May 3rd through the 19th. It's going to be 17 days, not 20, not quite 21, but not 14 either. So we're striving for $225, maybe a little bit more. And I already explained that we're kicking off with James Brown and ending with Malcolm X. And we hope to have, we may be bringing back one thank you gift for the Malcolm X if we can get a Pacifica Archives item that is free that we can just send a link that won't cost money to try to send and we'll get in trouble all over again. So if we can do it with the link and send it out, we know that other people will copy, will take it, but that's okay. We'll have that available for them. The tally page, you don't have to do. The other news, in case you missed it, this is really interesting in terms of our EMMA distribution of information. The e-blasts have had 99.9% delivery rate and 35% of people are opening it and 5% click rate, which absolutely is, you know, I thought that was low. According to Satari, it's very good. So we're very thrilled about that. In case you missed it, Sue Goodwin, it started with also Chris Banger Grounds, but now with a young man named Noah. They highlight, but they ask the programmers to send a synopsis of what they've done and highlight it in this, this letter. And I actually got an email from a listener, a major donor listener, who said they really appreciate the Have You Missed It because they actually went back to listen to a show that they never listened to before. So the purpose is being, realized and people are doing that, which is really great. In addition to that, as I mentioned earlier, we're doing the social media promotion. I did not mention the cost. The tickets are going to be for the 40th anniversary celebration, which takes place on Saturday, April the 26th. The tickets will be available online at WPFW. The tickets will be $150 per person. And that's it on her report. Any questions?
Any questions on the membership coordinator's report? Verna.
Yes, couple of questions. Who is the, in case you missed it, distributed to?
Is this all our online all our listeners?
Okay, so just online listeners, not other members. No, I'm sorry,
all the members. I'm sorry, not online listeners. All the people that we have within our mailing world for Emma. That's all the emails that we have of everyone we have. The people who listen to PFW who signed on through pledge drives or whatever else. That's what it all goes out to.
Okay, well, and congratulations, we're getting new listeners. It seems like it, with each pledge drive, that's awesome. One other question, I probably should have asked this when you were giving your report. We have incredible talent within our ranks, one being Mr. Wayne Bruce. I'm wondering if there's any opportunity to have them perform at the 48th or the 50th. I hope that wasn't a note that I heard.
I don't know. I don't know what's going on with the 49th and 50th, but that's a great idea. And it also may help something else. I have one other thing that's actually not in my report that I'll mention that I could use some help on, but I will talk about it then. But thank you, Verna, for that. I will address, because I think that's a really good point that you just brought up.
Okay, I see Michelle and then Sue. Michelle.
You're muted.
Yeah. Okay, thanks. I just realized it. Is this the part of the report where there was a discussion about the relocation committee?
Not yet. Okay. That's coming up next.
Okay, well then I'll wait.
Okay.
Sue.
Yeah, I just want to thank Miyuki for a great report. And thank you for mentioning the newsletter in case you missed it. And to mention about that, we're going to be working with Sataria to expand the number of people we can mail that to. And we've got a great open rate. It's like in the 80-90% range. We get great credit for that. And this may not be the appropriate time, but I do have to say our final episode of Monday Morning QB was Monday. It was bittersweet, as you can imagine. And we hope to be moving on to something that is more attuned to this moment in time, and we'll have something to say about that soon. But you all must realize it was hard to say goodbye to Monday Morning QB. It was a skier's vision. But it had a great run, and I want to thank Miyuki and Katia. You supported us every day. You believed in us, and that meant a lot.
Well, we appreciate the work you do. We value, you know, what you bring to the table, Sue, and it's a great job, and it was a part of Askia's legacy. But I think it's okay, because we still be a vital part of who WPFW is, always.
Thank you, Sue. Wayne.
This is a part of the meeting where I briefly say, yeah, I'm not doing that, Verna. And I'm offering Robert Gordon, and I see Craig Green has guitars in his back. I'm quite sure that they are equally as talented. I'll offer their services.
All right. Nobody else. I do have a question. On the newsletter, the distribution came up briefly in the outreach committee meeting. Is that something, the newsletter, that we intend to possibly expand to the music programming?
Well, right now, in terms of, you mean promotion with Have You Missed It?
Yes, the Have You Missed It, not the newsletter, I guess, Have You Missed It, would that be able to be expanded to the music programmers?
It's actually in case you missed it.
In case you missed it.
That's a Sue question. It was focused on the public affairs come out, because the public affairs needed more support in terms of listenership and support during the drive. And so Sue had, it's the thing about music is music wherever you go to different places, but the public affairs are so specific and so diverse. And so it gives people the calendar in their mind and keeps reminding them what's going on those different days. So that, as far as I know, and Sue's hands up, I'll let her respond to it.
Yeah. Let me say, it's a great question. And what I want to say is right now we're in the process of getting it right in terms of how much time it takes to produce. It's a weird thing with Emma as well. You can only put so much content in the actual product. But what I will say is it's on our minds, and it is something we will consider. But I can't say right now, but it is something that's on our minds.
And then we're not ignoring the music player programmers come out. I mentioned a couple months ago, back in December, we did a trial run with someone who does social media. We paid a discounted rate of $2,000 for the month of December to try to get the social media needle to move. It was very positively received. A couple major donors noticed the difference already after just 1 month, and they have stepped up, and they are now underwriting the whole project for 1 year. We're trying to learn all the things that this guy's doing, and we're going to have an intern or someone else start working with him so he can take over. But meanwhile, we're trying to expand our social media footprint, which is more important in this world today, and it's a lot faster than even Emma. And what the holdback right now, frankly, is the programmers aren't producing the product that we need to submit to the social media guy. He's looking for 3 short videos, and these are short, you know, use your camera, make your own video about WPFW. To do with. So, if you can get that video in, that'll possibly help, music programmers more than just having, in case you missed it. Cause that's also, we're doing both, we're doing music programmers and we're doing public affairs at the same time, trying to lift up the whole station.
Yeah. I'm just curious. Sounds like it's going really well. So that's why I kind of asked that question. All right, go ahead with your interim general manager's report, please.
Okay, this is what Michelle's been waiting for. I went with finances first, wrapped up successful 2-week drive.
strengthening our financial footing as we begin to continue to build a sustainable future. The relocation committee met. We agreed that we'll stay at Eckington Place for the next 2 years. Now, the studio that we have is really incredible in terms of what's actually there. We could have never built that for what we built, what it would cost us to build anywhere else. Both Craig Williams, who's an architect, and Frenchie, who is an engineer, said it would cost us over $200,000 if we had tried to build what we have now that we're working out of. It's just that what we have is really wonderful. Put a lot of work in it. And rather than our initial, it was a stopgap. You know, we didn't get the contract from the other person, and it was so late by the time we learned. We were trying to find somewhere to live very quickly so that we wouldn't have to pay another $18,000 worth of rent at the last place. And so we found the stopgap, which turns out to be better than we thought, because if we stay there, if we're able to stay there for 2 years and save funds so that in 2 years, when WPFW turns 50, we can stop being nomads. We can choose to be a business that though has potential to grow, that will build equity in a building. I've asked the, you know, we talked as a group with the relocation committee that we have to reimagine what a WPFW studio or home would look like or needs to look like in 2027 and really try to figure out what that is and then start looking for that building and start doing capital campaigns to raise money for that effort. Because if we don't, and we could find, you know, we have the great realtors, real estate agents, they're chomping at the bit to get us into some place for a rental situation again. We'll be doing the same thing when we're, you know, when we're 58. We'll be doing the same thing when we're 68. If we have a minute now, we have a great studio. Oh, and the other part is I was able to negotiate. We're going to get a office, not a whole big office space, but we're going to get an office there at Eckington where we can do the fund drive, volunteer phone calls, and where we can have our office working the, during this 2 year temporary, you know, save money period. And we'll have a working office, we'll have a working studio, and we have the opportunity to be proactive as opposed to reactive. We'll be in the position of strength. We have the possibility, the potential to put ourselves in a position of strength. And again, really reimagining what a studio, my favorite studio is WPFW, was 8th Street where I first came to WPFW and then Champlain Street because they were community vehicles. They were close to, you know, public transportation. There was place to park. And there was space for us to do different things. Well, right now, WAMU is totally deserted because the radio station, in terms of what it was once looked like, is no longer functional. It's not something that people are trying to come in and work. So what would a studio look like for us in 2027? And part of it would be encompassing things like being able to do podcasting or record podcasting or being able to do production. Right now, we can't really do a lot of production because it's limited, but computers give us some more space so that it's still possible. So that was the main thing in terms of my report and getting the support of the relocation committee on that. And it's also important for the LSB to please participate and help focus on that capital campaign. Because if we do this, we have a great possibility of changing the trajectory of what WPFW will look like 10 years from now. And then all the other part of my report is the celebration of life for Larry Applebaum will take place on March 23rd. Larry Applebaum was over 40-year volunteer at WPFW in addition to being a member of the Library of Congress and just the jazz world. And so we're doing a celebration for him then. And then, as I mentioned already, the 48th celebration is going to take place on April 26th.
All righty. Thank you for that. I'll take a stack. I see Michael Byfield, Dennis, in that order.
On the relocation and in terms of the extension of 2 years, a 2 year lease, from my understanding, aren't we restricted in terms of what we can say about where we're located?
We cannot say on air we're broadcasting from Sirius XM, but that, you know, not that many people said we're broadcasting from 1990 K Street.
Is that the only thing? Because I thought there were some other restrictions. Wasn't there some?
There's restrictions in terms of, there's confidentiality issues in terms of the lease, but I don't see it as a problem, Michael. What is the issue that you're worried about?
That just having that kind of restriction when you're paying rent. Of course.
I'm sorry. Just clarify exactly what the issue is. I'm sorry.
And I understand. Didn't we have to remove a programmer or something because of some disagreements with the building policy or something? Didn't that happen recently? Within the last 3 months?
No.
No. Okay.
Okay. I think maybe I could offer some clarity. Yeah, there are rules around entering the building, how you must enter the building, what you can and can't do while in their studio, such as drink and eat. I don't know if that's what you're referring to, Michael.
Okay. And we can't say we're in the same building as SiriusXM.
We cannot mention that on air, and then you cannot, in terms of a lease, typically those things, there are some confidentiality around just making public the lease agreement. I would think that oftentimes, legally, most organizations do not want their leases just floating around. So I would expect that to be confidential amongst management of both teams.
I got a question. If during that 2 year period, we find something that can we break that lease without any major penalties?
No, we have the same 68 day out we've always had. We're just taking the same year, the same lease that we had for the 1 year period and extended it to three with the option, to extend it to two with the option of three. But we've not, so either side. Is required to, only needs a 60 day out if, has a 60 day opt if we want opt out, if we want to get out or if they want us to go.
Okay. Okay.
Thank you, Michael. Dennis.
Yeah. I want to thank Miyuki for giving the bulk of the relocation report.
Right.
And I want to, just remind everyone that the agreement to which she refers is, of course, subject to approval by this board, which we will take up shortly.
I apologize. Dennis,
okay. I love the support. Enthusiasm.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Sorry. That's why. Okay, I should go last. I just could add stuff.
Yeah, there'll be further information, as Dennis has mentioned, when he brings us his relocation committee report. Anything else for our interim general manager?
Mr. Chair, I was trying to raise my hand here, but I'm moving slowly. Just a quick confirmation.
Ahead.
Yeah, Miyuki, you said that we have an option for a third year, as part of this, agreement. Did I hear that correctly?
Yes, you did.
Thank you very much. That's what I wanted to confirm.
Okay.
Anything else for Miyuki? Hearing none. Tom, are you ready? Can we bring forward our finance committee report?
Yes. Thank you. Just a little while ago this afternoon, Ellen forwarded the finance committee report, and I'm going to just briefly summarize what's there. Since the last LSB meeting, I've continued to work with Miyuki and Kemau to gain access into the different accounts and to Otis's reporting system to start to look at all the different data relative to revenue and expenses. Making good progress on that. The report here shows our current monthly, for February, our sort of cash basis report. We have continued to have income exceeding expenses for every month of the current fiscal year. And although, as the point out at the bottom of the report, there's a number of outstanding expense items, some fairly substantial, that we're waiting for the invoices to pay. So, I can say, you know, generally we're on track with the budget. I wouldn't say, you know, too far ahead or too far behind. We haven't seen a report from the national office on our revenues and expenses for the current fiscal year since October. Just before the last LSB meeting, we received the official numbers for FY23 and FY24. So we have solid numbers through the end of last fiscal year. And I was hoping to make a report on that for this meeting, but I wasn't able to sort of analyze all of that as I wanted to. So hopefully at a future meeting, I can give you more on the historical data. But, you know, based on our, what I would call a dead reckoning for any sailors out there, you know, we kind of look month to month based on what we know our income and expenses have been. But until we get the official report from P&O, it's still kind of just kind of track month to month. So that's where we are with the current condition. In terms of the general activity of the committee, on the first page of the report, I point out sort of three key areas we're going to work in. The first one relates to continuing to improve our understanding of the different ways that the revenue and expenses are incurred and how that gets into the reports. And then also really looking at where we stand against budget from a month-to-month standpoint with projections out to the end of the year. So I think and that's that sort of first bullet. So I think by next month, we'll have a report that is more reflective of a kind of a profit and loss statement with projections towards the end of the year. The second area is looking at essentially the information we get from Otis's reports, which I can give more in background on this in a future meeting, but it's essentially where the line item of all the contributions are maintained from the pledge drives, from the sustaining members, monthly payments, everything like that. And so really want to kind of tease out that information and be able to see what we can learn about trends in contributions or any demographic information we can garner from zip codes or looking at, you know, the ways people donate. Some people, you know, have donated $310 contributions and some people give one, you know, $3,000 contribution. And it's kind of interesting to look at that data and see what we can learn from it. That's a little bit longer term effort. I'd say next couple of months, we'll have more on that. And then the third item is just helping out where we can with other committees from the financial aspect and looking at new revenue sides. So I've been helping Miyuki with the budget for the 48th anniversary meeting. And I think particularly flowing out of that number two item, there may be things we can do to help Craig and the sustaining member efforts and things like that. So, sorry I don't have more today on the historical FY23-24 financials, but that concludes my report on the current status of WPFW's financial situation. Any questions?
All right, hearing the report from the Finance Committee Chair. Any questions? I have Verna and then Tony in that order.
Hi, Tom, thank you so much for that report and thank you for your work. And I look forward to that historic piece that you're going to bring us next time. Did I understand you correctly to say that our revenues are basically outpacing our expenses at this point?
Yeah.
Wow. That's historic right there.
Yeah. And, you know, I think Miyuki deserves all the credit on that of really cutting expenses where we can, and probably where we shouldn't. I don't know, but I'm still digging in. But, you know, we've paid now consistently throughout this year that central services fee. And we're one of, I think, just three of the five stations that are up to date on our central services fee. And, yeah, I personally think that's a very important thing for us to do because we need a national office that's, you know, really coordinating and keeping up on these financial issues across all the stations to avoid, I think, some of the problems we've had in the past.
I'm sorry. What about the medical benefits? Are we caught up in that area? I know that's an area where we're behind.
Yeah, I don't believe we are. Maybe Miyuki can share more on that. But my understanding is we're still waiting to get the number. My expectation is because they closed the books for last year, we would only owe the money back from October, not all the way back to, I believe, sometime in the last fiscal year when we stopped paying the health payments. You know, even when, like last year, we didn't pay, and I'll get into this in the historic numbers, but, you know, we didn't pay central services fee in 2024. But if you look at the final numbers, you know, out of the national office, you know, we have a negative. It just decreased our we still got charged for it, if you will, in our department finances.
Okay. I have more, but I'll stop. Thank you very much.
You bet.
Tony, and then we'll get to Miyuki. Tony, go ahead.
Okay. Hi, Tom.
Hi, Tom.
I got a question about the similar to what Verna asked. It says revenues outpaced expenses, but at the very bottom of the report, you have $100,000 in outstanding expenses. And so my question is that $100,000 from previous expenses before February? Before the February 28th.
Yeah.
And second question is rent for Eckington Place 3 months plus 1 month deposit is one of the things on here. And I don't see any rent payment for the month of February. Can you tell us about that?
Right. Yes. So again, at the station level, we are managing our books using a cash basis. You know, if we were doing an accrual basis, we would put those numbers in even though we hadn't written the check yet. So the answer to your first question is yes, all that roughly 100,000, are expenses that we need to pay from prior to the end of February. And they're estimates. We don't have invoices, so we don't know exactly what that number is, particularly for the health. And, I don't have in front of me across the 4 months to see if the net has been greater than 100, but I believe it has. So I think even if we assumed that 100 is accurate, we're still probably a little bit ahead, I don't have the number. Let me see if I have that open. I would need a minute to look at that, but did that answer both questions?
Yeah, we can take that back, Tom. Tony, you can go ahead and make sure you get that information out to the board on if you were to roll that 100,000 in to the current pace, are we in a negative or in a positive still? So just get that back to the board.
Yeah, I'll drop it in the chat because I'll find that quickly.
Thank you.
What about the rent for Eckington Place? What does that mean? That it's due or it's been paid?
No, it means that it's due, but we have not yet received an invoice from them, and we don't know where to send it. And the issue is that the Sirius, I guess we could say it on here, right? Sirius has a property management company, and they have to work through the property management company to cut us the invoice, and they've been struggling I went on a site visit and we brought it up with the guy and he's like, I'm trying to get you an invoice. We want your money, but so until we get the invoice, we don't even know where to send the money.
Wow. Okay. That's okay. Got you. Thank you.
You bet.
Miyuki. Right.
You muted.
Tom.
Sorry. I was just adding to what Tom said that, basically that we have the money. We're ready to pay. They don't have us in their system yet. And when they do, we'll just be able to pay it. I mean, we have it sitting, you know, at standby ready to go. And the other thing, and just into the specifics, when Tom read the lease, he's, you know, said that the lease and the terms of the lease are confidential. So if you want particular details, we can go on a closed session with the LSB or the executive committee or whatever, but we can't just say all those things in a public forum all the time. Thanks, Julie.
One thing I'll also add just quickly, and you'll note in that report, there's a line item for industrial money market operating account. So Miyuki in February moved some of the money from our checking account into an interest-bearing money market account. So while we're holding those funds for those invoices, we're getting interest on the money.
And that was because Tom noticed that we had money sitting there that was not getting interest, so I was able to switch accounts. So thanks for Tom's noticing that.
Thank you. Craig?
So, Tom, because of the cash basis accounting, would the latest fundraising round of money be in this report, or is that yet to show up, and then that's also part of the balance that you project being deposited?
No, it's in the report. To the extent that we actually received the cash. So you'll see on the report, we have contributions in February is, you know, not, some people had bill me, some people, right, pledged sustaining membership. So we only actually realized maybe $20 out of their $240 pledge. So Miyuki gave you the sort of pledge numbers, which would be bigger than what we actually pulled in February in cash. But February also includes cash from past sustainers that didn't pledge, right? So it's a bit of apples to oranges between the pledge drive success and the amount of cash we brought in February.
Okay. And then so what percentage is on sustainer versus just straight cash? Do we have that? Broken down.
I don't have that number
yet. That's a great
I'm
question. And there's a system called Allegiance, which Pacifica is trying to clear the way for us to get back on. Apparently, Allegiance breaks it down on a weekly basis. We don't have that. Tom, to his credit, as well as Craig, has been trying to work it through Otis's system so that I could just know how much is coming in on a weekly basis. We have no idea. It's just like, you know, ooh, it's coming in this week. So yeah, until we get a different system, and Otis's system has served us brilliantly for all these years, but we just need to fine tune and be able to do some more things with it. And so that hopefully is coming with when Pacifica is able to get us Allegiance. And then we can have those specific numbers. Houston's incredible. They can tell you how many dollars come in every week, but I have no idea.
Okay. Anything else for the finance committee? Any other questions? Minerva.
Yes, Tom, excuse me. As you're putting together this report, I see something here that says the industrial account balance for relocation. And I thought at the last meeting you said it was about 60,000 that was there. Now I see it's 52,204. Can we, as you show the expenses down below, identify where these funds were used?
Yeah, so that report the under notes, the first one under relocation, shows that we had just one charge against it this month for the engineering consulting for the new, moving into the new facility. So okay, pretty much anything that comes out of that industrial relocation account will be in the relocation line item under expenses, and then I'll try to break those out each time.
Okay. So in essence, right now, once they've done this 6825, there's no other reason for money to be coming out of that fund. Is that correct?
No, there are some outstanding payments. I believe that's also mentioned. Yeah, so underneath the outstanding roughly 100,000 total, there's a part of that that's also some outstanding relocation expenses.
Okay, and but you don't identify the amount for the relocations, just say of number 5 relocation. No dollar amount, correct?
Yeah. That yes, I haven't identified the actual amount.
Minerva, those are for
Hold on one second. Hold on one second. Let me try to clarify if I could. So have you identified the activities that may impact the relocation? For example, if you don't have the dollars, do you actually have what it is that we have to potentially pay for? Maybe if you give us an understanding of the activity that hasn't quite been costed out yet, then folks would be comfortable with that.
Well, yeah, the work been done. Go ahead, Miyuki. You can.
No, I was going to say, Tom doesn't know specifically. It's for the contractors. The contractors haven't provided me the invoices for the materials and their time that it took to do it. That's Mo, and that's Frenchie did his part, and I have one more contractor I have to get the billing from. But that's what it's for. It's for the contractors and the, whatever material and equipment we need to do for the relocation.
For the relocation that's already been done. Is that what you're saying?
Correct. Those folks have not submitted the invoices yet. That's what I'm waiting for.
Okay. Did they provide us with anything that gave an idea of what that cost would be, or we are waiting for them to do what they're doing and then they give it to us?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, right. I would just say on that, we had some ballpark numbers that Miyuki and I brainstormed on each of the 5 to come up with 100, but some of them were kind of speculative. So it's just, I want to, you know, we're going to stay on top and try to get it refined as soon as we can.
Miyuki.
Sir?
Yeah,
oh, my. Sorry. I'm sorry. No. Sorry about that.
I do have a question, Tom. Is there expectation that any of the monthly or the first month's deposit at Eckington and or any of the other rent expense would be also hitting that relocation account, or is it all going to be out of the operating account? Are you potentially seeing that the first month's deposit would be a relocation cost, or would that be more of a operating cost?
I guess I would defer to our CPA for in chair for that.
That'd be an operating cost. It's not the part of.
Yeah, I think so.
Okay,
but I mean, it's not as if it's a capital cap. We're capexing. It's really for our own sort of internal budgeting thinking. So I think it's really kind of up to you guys about how you'd like to see that. Just, you know, which account you'd like it to come out of. I don't have a strong feeling either way.
Sounds good. Anything else for the Finance Committee? Going once, going twice. Thank you, Tom.
Thank you.
Dennis, Relocation Committee Chair, are you prepared to make your report?
I am. Okay, there I am. Okay, as I said before, Miyuki really gave a lot of the meat of it. Let me give you just a little bit of timeline and detail. When the committee started meeting earlier this year, we initially focused on sort of an aggressive schedule of finding a new rental location by the middle of this year to give us plenty of time to have a less hectic move before the end of our contract year at Eckington Place at the end of this year. And then so we had started the process of, you know, re-engaging with the Canal Group and looking at properties again. Once the idea of extending where we are came up, and I think it was first raised in a meeting by a chief engineer, it was like, so that ended up really being the bulk of the conversation for two full meetings with the chief engineer and the interim general manager becoming increasingly persuaded that that was our best move, and in turn persuading most of the committee. As Tom mentioned, he and I went with Miyuki on a site visit at the studio, and we looked at some possible office spaces there, which seemed feasible. And so we were also there when Miyuki broached the subject, basically made the pitch of extending there at Eckington Place, and it was very well received. So then we came back and had another meeting after that, and talked about the potential benefits of, you know, trying to stay there for a while, let where we are now be the interim move that we were thinking about, and really focusing on, saving money and pivoting to a strategy of using this time to try to secure, an ownership position, for the property. At our last meeting, which was last week, we voted, I think it was unanimous, to make that recommendation, to this board, that we extend, our current lease, goes to the end of 2025, that we recommend that we extend through 2026 with an option for 2027. And as, was stated in response to Michael's question, we would still have the same 60-day out that we do now, so that if we find something at any time between now and potentially the end of 2027, we would be on the hook for at most 2 months' rent after we leave. Of course, they also have 60 days to kick us out if we prove to be irresponsible tenants, but so far the reports are that everything is going well. This is something relatively new for them, which is part of the reason they don't have the invoices together yet. Sort of renting out their spaces to other people is something that they're sort of trying out with us. They got a lot of space there, and they got a ton of studios and a lot of dead office space. We're helping each other out, frankly. So that is our, recommendation, that's a motion from the committee. We can have a debate about that. And I will entertain any questions, along with, if Miyuki or Tom have anything to add. In response to the questions.
Dennis, let me go ahead and read your motion in.
For the record. Please.
Be it resolved that WPFW extend its studio lease and rent office space at Sirius XM through 2026 with an option for 2027, maintaining the 60-day mutual out clause. The committee also agreed unanimously to recommend that it continue to meet as currently constituted in order to explore and recommend next steps for securing a permanent location.
Right. So those should be two separate. Yeah.
Yeah. Two separate. Okay. Yeah. Sorry about that. Yeah. So the first one there, again, be it resolved that WPFW extend its studio lease and rent office space at Sirius XM through 2026 with an option for 2027, maintaining the 60-day mutual out clause. Any discussion on that? Miyuki.
Yes.
Hold on, Ron. I got Miyuki, Ambrose, and then you, Ron. Go ahead, Miyuki.
Yeah, I just wanted to clarify a point. When Michael asked me the question, he wasn't exact. The reason why there are rules and regulations which we all must adhere by. That's confidentiality rules, and that's rules of the space. And the rules of the space is that there's no food or drink allowed in this space. There are no children allowed in the space for insurance reasons. And so there was a programmer that was suspended for violating the rules, but they came right back. They understood the mistake. They owned it, and they came back, and they're fine. Everyone's understanding is growing pains. There's a couple hiccups here and there, but no one has been taken off the air or anything. There was a person that was suspended for a week, and then they came back. I wanted to let you know that because it's really important that WPFW cross our T's and dot our I's and act accordingly with what, I mean, it's not an unreasonable request that there's no food or drink in the studio and that we don't bring children into the station and that we, you know, do the security things as they request. We're abiding by the rules of the house. And that's a small, small price to pay for everything that we're getting. But I just wanted to be, I just want to clarify my response to Michael earlier. Thank you.
Thank you. Ambrose and then Ron. Ambrose.
Yes, I just wanted to say that that is outstanding that we have the extension on the lease. That gives us some breathing room and some time to actually look for a great place while we save money at the same time. So I have to tip my hat. Thank you.
Ron.
My question is this. Should that third year option, is that included in that motion? I'm not sure if it was or not.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, it is.
Okay. So the third year option is included. That's all. Okay. Very good. Thank you.
Yes.
It's not stated as a third year. It says as an option 2027. So that implies that we're in year one now, 2025, taking us through 26, option 27.
All right. Thanks.
Thank you. Craig.
I just want to say that saving money on rent is so powerful for us right now. It's like free donations, right? It's like an extra 80 people just called. And we didn't have to ask. We didn't have to chase them down. It's power. And so that's, you know, that's great move on you guys doing that. I'm new to the committee before you made that move. And I think it's just powerful. And like you said, if it means we save money to do something else, okay, but it gives us a lot of a leeway right now, and that's just a great space to be in.
Thank you. Any other discussion on the first motion coming from the relocation committee? Minerva. I'm sorry, Robert and then Minerva. Robert.
Yeah, if Dennis could just, I'm not sure if you did, Dennis, because I stepped away, but just to acknowledge our brothers and sisters that made the connection with Sirius in the first instance so that they can get joy. Cause that's some definitely, I agree with Craig. I agree with everybody. And that's some positive sunshine on WPFW. So who was it that?
Okay. The first contact was our, former, board member, Adele Stan. And along with, I don't know his full name, but he goes by Frenchie, who's, one of our engineers, or I guess he's our contract engineer. But they were the two most pivotal people, and Mo and Miyuki were quick to realize the possibilities and helped help move us in that direction.
Thank you, Minerva.
Okay. In doing this, are the Gannal group, the individuals that were helping you to look, well, helping the station look for a place to rent, are they still in that mode to help look for a place to rent, or are they changing their focus, and have we paid them for the service they've already provided?
Okay, I'll ask three different things. Okay, I'll answer the last question first. We don't pay them. The way the commercial real estate works is that the broker is paid by the seller. So we were never going to pay them directly for their services.
The landlord, Dennis.
The landlord. Yeah. Right. Thank you. Rental. Right. So the landlord. So that's not an issue. they are, we are still their clients because technically we're still in the rental market. Unless and until we signed the agreement to extend. And if we do, in fact, extend where we are now, then I think we will not need their services. I think they just do rental is my understanding. And if we, pivot toward looking to purchase, part of that process would be looking for a different kind of representation.
Okay, thank you. Mm-hmm.
Any more discussion on the motion from the relocation committee? Any opposition to the motion?
Tony asked that it be restated, Mr. Chair, in the chat.
Oh, did he? I didn't see that. Okay.
Yeah.
Sure. The motion reads, be it resolved that WPFW extended studio lease and rent office space at SiriusXM through 2026 with an option for 2027, maintaining the 60-day mutual out clause.
Can I add one thing of explanation? The other thing that the committee had been focusing on for the last couple of months, the management had expressed an immediate need for office space for convenience, but especially to save money during the drives, to have a place where we can have volunteers on site at least during the weekends, during the drives, which basically saves at least the equivalent of the amount of money we're paying in rent every month. So a big part of this is that we would be able to have that kind of office space, at least enough space to do some storage, to do, have a couple of desks and do some work, but most importantly, to table some volunteers to answer phones during the drives, and it would be, in close proximity to where the studio is, which would make life a lot more convenient than having that space on the other side of town, which we were prepared to do if necessary. But if we can do it there, it's more convenient.
Okay. Is that a second item motion?
One motion on the table. We don't need a second coming out of committee. I'm asking if there's any other discussion. Any opposition? First motion from the relocation committee passes. Second motion reads as such. The committee also agreed unanimously to recommend that it continue to meet as currently constituted in order to explore and recommend next steps for securing a permanent location.
Let me speak to that for.
Go ahead and motivate. Yes.
Yeah. So the idea is that, we just to keep up the momentum, since we've already got a group and a schedule, and other people have been coming to the meetings, and that's fine. All are welcome. We've identified a few things that are important to focus on. One is to assess our where we are now financially and to try and develop a sense of where we need to be, in terms of, what kind of a bank do we need to develop for a down payment on a place? What kind of a, position do we need to be in, to qualify and sustain a mortgage? So to have, folks, spending time digging into that. Another major part of it, which Miyuki alluded to a little bit, is to spend time and really doing a lot of outreach and consulting with different stakeholders to develop a vision for a space. The first thing this committee did last year was to do a sort of an inventory and figure out what we needed in terms of, square footage and what things needed to be in the space and where the space needed to be. Similarly, only on a larger, even more blue sky kind of scale, what kind of space do we want it to be in terms of both the operations, the studio, and also in terms of the station as a community entity. You know, where are the places we want to look at? What are the features in the space that we want to, that we think are important, to be able to incorporate it as a community radio station? And just get a lot of ideas and try to pull that stuff together, over the next several months as much as possible, with an eye toward, you know, pulling together some recommendations that then this board as a whole can debate and discuss and move forward. But it's easier to do it with, you know, obviously in a smaller group that meets more often than once a month. So that's what we would like to do.
Any just other, oh, great. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, I have a challenge with the time that you guys meet. I'd love to come otherwise, but, there's a station in Southwest Virginia called WMMT. Mm-hmm. And they're part of an organization called Apple Shop, which has like a whole community center space. They do storytelling. They've got their own news network. They've got their own reporting going on. And, if, you know, it's 8-hour drive to go visit them, but they're, you know, if you're asking for a thing that would be an interesting, role model, they're definitely in there.
Do you have contacts there?
Yep. I absolutely do. My son used to be, he was an executive director. He was on the board there. So okay. Yes, actually.
Okay. Well, if you can't get to the meetings for starters, let me ask you to contact me and we'll mm-hmm. start communicating and figure out ways to get more information about that. That sounds like a great model. Thank you.
Yep.
All right. We have a motion on the floor. Any other discussion on the motion? I see Minerva. Go ahead, Minerva. You're muted.
Yeah, it just came up and told me I was muted. I understand Dennis's recommendation for the group to remain the same because they're familiar with each other. But again, just as Craig identified some things that he would like to do but couldn't because of the time, I think that this group needs to, however it's done, be reconstituted. Because, you know, there are other individuals that are part of this board that have ideas that have worked, in different arenas in terms of looking at, properties and things of that sort. And I think that it should be opened up where if there are other people who have an interest that they can put their name in the hat and we go from there. Thank you.
Any other discussion on the motion from the relocation committee? Miyuki.
Hey, Kamau, can I just respond to what Minerva just said? One of the most effective committees thus far has been the relocation committee in terms of moving forward and getting things done. And they've always been open to, they've always posted their meetings and everyone's open to make comments and contribute. So I'm not sure why the reconstitution may be necessary, but I just know thus far they've worked very well together, first under Kamau, now under Dennis, and very good at getting things done. And other people may have other ideas, et cetera, and they're welcome to bring them at every meeting. There's never been, I've never seen anybody who was not part of the committee not allowed to speak.
May I respond?
Minerva, go ahead. You have the floor.
Okay. The reason that I'm making this statement, Miyuki, is that there are things that would be voted on and dealt with that individuals who might have information that they could share or bring to the group would not be able to vote. And that's a piece that has me because the group can work. The individuals that are there can do just what you said. They could be part of this group that brings ideas, things forward to others on the group, but at least share this opportunity with others. We have, and I can think of a name, but I'm not calling out any names in this meeting, that brings a lot to that meeting. And we've even had at one point someone discouraged from being able to speak out because they weren't a member. So, you know, basically I see where you're trying to go, but it's right to let others who bring ideas to the station to take part in it. We have a lot of people just sitting and you don't know what they have or what they could bring because we're not allowing them to do so. Thank you.
Wayne.
Yeah, I don't, we formed these committees at the beginning of the year, and this committee was reconstituted at the beginning of the year with Dennis as the chair. So to reconstitute the committee again, in my opinion, doesn't make any sense when somebody can just join the meeting or send in any information that they want to send in. I mean, come to the meeting. I've been on that committee since it started. I've delivered my opinions. They've been beat down, beat back. I've said my opinion about talking about not going, moving to Georgia Avenue, which I am from Georgia Avenue. So, I mean, that committee since I've been on has never, has listened to everybody. We value everyone's opinion. If you bring your opinion to that committee, which I sit on, in a manner of respect for other humans on that committee, we listen. So I don't know if you need to reconstitute a committee to get some other ideas in. That's my opinion.
Michael Byfield.
I don't want to go there, but let me just say, I think it's a good situation and I support it. First, I want to put that out there first. However, I think that relocation committee, did their job. And we're only in March, which means the new board has met twice, really. And this is our third meeting because our last meeting was spent bickering over some very divisive issues. So what I believe is that, we ought to open, that new relocation committee, maybe even an extension to whoever wants to join that committee and not as non-voters. I just heard what Craig said. Sounded like he has some great ideas. So I don't think it ought to be restricted, to any member, especially since, in my opinion, we are starting over. We are starting over. It's an extension of future, but it's still new. So and also, we haven't hired a general manager yet. We're operating with an IGN for a year. So in saying all of that, I don't see the reason why we can't have a reconstituted relocation committee.
Thanks, Michael. Hold on, Minerva. I'm going to let someone else have the mic, and then I'll come back to you. I see Vanessa, Bill Curtis, and then Ambrose. Vanessa.
Okay. So I couldn't have said it any better than Wayne, but I just want to focus on one particular point. We were just reconstituted like 2 months ago. When we first started, I've been on since the beginning of this iteration, since Jerry was no longer involved, since the former GM was no longer involved. And there must have been 15, 16, 17 members on. Anybody who wanted to join could join. They could speak. They could vote. The PNB, in its infinite wisdom, put restrictions on who could be on it. So that's why we have the restrictions that we do have. Reasons were given. I didn't agree with them, but it is what it is. They voted to restrict our committee. And so it has to be comprised of certain a certain number. Certain people automatically are members of the committee. So that's why there's a restriction on the number. But again, I couldn't say it any better than Wayne did in terms of the openness of that committee to receiving and accepting ideas. And it does make a difference when a person can vote and can't vote. It does. So I'm glad to hear people say that. They say it for one committee, but, you know, not necessarily support that for another committee. But yeah, it does make a difference, but we're operating within the limitations imposed on us by the PMB, and doing it very well and very congenially and open to, you know, all comments. It may have happened on one occasion that someone felt that they were being prohibited from speaking, but in general, that is not true. In general, it's not representative.
Vanessa, that's time. That's time. I'm sorry.
Point of order. I'm sorry.
Hold on for your point. Give me 1 minute and I'll address that. I have 4 minutes, 3 minutes now.
That was my point.
And we're going to get to community comments. So, this motion is going to be on the table after we receive comments from our community. What's your point of order, Dennis?
That was it.
Okay. All right. So I have in this order, as we come back from community comment, I have member Curtis, Bill Curtis, member Lane, Ambrose Lane, member Sanders, Minerva Sanders in that order. Okay. So let's go ahead and open up our floor, if we could, for our community comments. It's a little bit early, but in order to kind of not cut anybody off in the middle of their statements regarding relocation, I'm going to go ahead and open the floor for community comments. So if there's anybody from the community who would like to address their local station board at this time, please go ahead.
How much time, Chair?
2 minutes for their initial pass, and then 1 minute.
Okay.
Second pass.
Thank you.
Depending on how many people we have, if we don't have a whole lot, then we can move accordingly. Yep.
I got it.
Anybody from the community? Myla.
Well, I am an interloper, although I must say I'm a jazz enthusiast and I'm really we're very happy about your Jazz and Justice format. And I just want to say that I'm very impressed by this board and by the serious attention you're focusing on to all of the very many challenges for WPFW. I'm really impressed. I just I don't know if you can answer this question, but I kind of wondered when I heard that that monies that you had been transferred to an interest-bearing money market account. And I am wondering whether there was any consideration about making sure that that money market account did not put Pacifica listeners' money into any funding of military contractors. That's the one thing that kind of perked my ears. But I just applaud you and commend you for having a very serious meeting, serious and orderly meeting. And that's it.
Thank you so much for your attendance. Appreciate that. Peak Investments.
Yeah, this is Martha Peterson. I just wanted to say that's wonderful to hear about the relocation committee and how well you all are doing. But I do want to put a pitch in for the outreach committee also. The outreach committee works well together and we've done quite a bit. The town halls, the different events. So I just want to say the outreach committee is doing quite well also. That's all.
Thank you. Myla, we'll have to get back to you on that particular question, okay? Anything else from the community? Don't be shy. I see Marcia.
Yes, I would like to speak to the opening up of the relocation committee because even though the committee may have done good work, we could get extremely insular in the way we deal with things. And there needs to be a way that we as a station make it easier for people to participate. That means have voting members on the committee, not just commentators, because the strength is in the vote, as we all should know from recent months. And the more that we remove people from the active participation in the democratic process, we sacrifice to have smooth meetings, to the God of, we sacrifice to the God of having smooth meetings rather than have full and open participation. And I'm hoping that the board will be reconstituted. I think it's supposed to be reconstituted every year, correct? And if that's the case, it has not been reconstituted this year. If the old members remain, that's fine. But bring in some new blood with new ideas and give them voting power. Thanks.
Thank you. Anybody else from our community who would like to speak to our board this evening? Or your board, excuse me for that. I don't know if I see a lot of community members here tonight, but anytime within the next 30 minutes, those who would like to speak, please do so. Acknowledge me by raising your hand, and we'll pause our proceedings between now and 8:30 in order to allow you to comment. In between that time, we'll go back and try to address the motion we have on the table from the relocation committee and finish up with our member Curtis, member Lane, and then member Sanders in that order, okay? So community members, please, between now and 8:30, do not hesitate to go ahead and raise your hand and we'll address you right away. Member Curtis, go ahead.
Yeah. Let me just get off this street I'm driving while listening.
On a privilege, could we get back to Bill when he is in a safe space?
Did he say he was driving or he's on the side? Okay. Not a problem.
Count that from his time.
Sure.
Oh, well, thank you. Let me just pull over here to this little parking lot.
We'll come right back to you. Ambrose.
I'm good. I'm good. Right.
Okay.
Right about here and now. I'm safe.
Because driving and talking is not a good thing. But I just wanted to say, for the sake of, you know, historical... for historical reference about the committee, I could say a lot about the committee, but in terms of allowing people to speak, I was challenged to even, I'm not even a member of the committee, but I was challenged. So now, you know, people are saying things about that. I'm only just bringing that up just for historical reference for the new people. Like the gentleman, his name Craig, who cited another station. I mean, you have brilliant people on this board. And like I believe Martha said, the committee is kind of insular. I'm not saying the committee didn't do good work. The committee did take a year. And we wound up getting something that came through someone within the WPFW orbit itself. So, even if you didn't reconstitute it, just put it out there that people are really welcome. And when they become involved with that committee, make them feel welcomed. Make them feel welcomed. That's it for me. Thanks so much.
Ambrose. Thank you, Bill. Ambrose.
Yeah, Bill, I wasn't clear on what you were saying, Bill. Are you saying that
Hold on. Just go ahead and make a comment. If you have a question for.
Yeah, I just didn't know whether or not, because my comment is, I can't really make my comment if Bill said that he was somehow rejected. I just wanted clarity.
Hold on a second. Bill, are you saying that the committee somehow rejected you from speaking? Is that your statement?
Yes. Yes, initially, yes. Then there was a conversation in the committee about whether he can or whether he can't. Not calling any names, but I was challenged by a particular person. But it was resolved after dialogue back and forth, you know, which is totally unnecessary. Anybody should have the right to speak. It's a listener-sponsored radio station. We don't own it. Everyone should have the right to speak. But to answer your question directly, yes, I was challenged. And then it took a 5 to 7 minute dialogue back and forth and among the committee. It was ruled that, he can speak. Yeah, he can speak.
Okay. Thank you. Ambrose, that's your answer. Go ahead with your comment.
Thank you. I'm glad that it was resolved, Bill. And having said that, I don't think that the committee needs to be reconstituted, because you can almost say that about any committee. I know that when I have made suggestions, I've made suggestions about properties that I've come across, and I made them directly to committee members, or at least one committee member, they were pursued. And so, I wish that I could have joined the committee. I just couldn't, because of the schedule of the meetings, didn't fit with my schedule. Otherwise, I would have joined the committee, but, I still think that they're doing an excellent job. But if there's an issue of being able to speak at a committee meeting, there should be an allotted time for that. And from what I understand, that was resolved with you, Bill. So I have no problems with how it is constituted. There was an opportunity at the beginning of the year to join the committee, from what I understand. And like I said, I couldn't because of the meeting schedule. But I still want to tip my hat to the work that they have done, and continue to do in saving WPFW money, putting us on a track where we can save money and even look at, some other buildings or rents or even purchases. And that is nothing but a good thing. So I don't think that we need to necessarily beat a dead horse. And that's my comment.
Minerva.
Yes, and let me just state that the situation that I'm speaking to is, well, let me start out by saying, when this committee was put in place and we were asked how, and I advised, asked how much we were paying for current lease at 19K, and was told $17,000, it was decided that we could have bought a place in 10 years for that. So when it came back to and I brought up the first idea of, why are we not trying to look for a place to buy? And I was told we didn't have any money and couldn't do it. And now, within 2 or 3 meetings, what we're talking about now is taking an existing group and then putting it into play to look for a place to buy. The group that was put in place, that's currently in place, was looking for a place to lease. We found a lease place. And I do not think that it causes any harm by taking that committee and reconstituting it. So others with ideas, I'm still excited about what Craig said, but I feel that that message he's talking about, since he has someone who's part of his family that could share some in-depth insight as to what that place looks like, and others that we could look at, I just think that we should allow the talent that we have on this LSB, and it doesn't have to be me. There are others who bring talent to the game to help in this process. So that's what I'm saying. Don't limit it to just a certain group of people and sit on the side and hope that somebody steps away so you can step in. Maybe some of those who have been there since
that's
the beginning.
Time, Minerva. Time, Minerva. Thank you.
That's fine. Thank you.
I saw Violetta's hand first. Violetta, you ready?
Yes, I just needed a question. I have a question of clarification. If the committee was just reconstituted in January, why is this motion necessary? Because it's relocation. I didn't know if it was specific to relocation renting, relocation buying, but I'm just wondering why is a motion to continue necessary when the committee has just been reconstituted?
I'll answer your question there. This committee, it was formed for a specific purpose. In fulfilling the purpose for 2 years, potentially 3 years, the idea would be that the committee would dissolve until once needed again. This motion then affirms the continuance of the committee to go through as the chair has recommended to explore other recommendations. So that's really the issue here is to not dissolve it, and to maintain it through the end of this year, which, of course, at the end of this year, I didn't want to bring this up now, but I'll go ahead and do it. We then reconstitute committees again anyway. But technically, it's a specific purpose, the purpose being fulfilled for at least the next 2 years, potentially three. The idea would be that we do not need the committee at this moment. So that's why I believe the chair and the committee have decided to bring forward a request to continue with specific work in and around exploring ideas and so forth. So that's hopefully answers your question there, by the way.
Yes, thank you.
No problem. Bron, and then Mike Hirsch, and then Mike Byfield. Bron.
I just want to point out that also the people that are serving on this committee were voted to serve on this committee. Okay? These weren't appointees. These were voted on by the appears on the board. So this, you know, you want to go back and reconstitute the committee. You know, there were people who ran for these positions that just did not win. So, but they can still participate, you know, and the board has allowed them to participate. Okay. So let's keep that in mind. There was a vote taken by the members of this board as to who would serve on these committees. And those votes have to be respected. Thank you.
Mike Hirsch.
I'd like to make a motion, if it's in order, to commend the committee for their successful carrying out of their duties and finding us a place for the next couple of years, maybe 3 years. And I'd also like to put forward a motion suggesting that we maintain that committee, perhaps invite new people to participate. That's not up to me, but consider the committee with a new set of duties and searching for a more permanent home after the 2.5-3 years that we're at our current location and other facilities in the area that we can use in the interim to have public events and music events and things like that.
Thank you, Mike. I do believe that is somewhat the motion that's on the floor. I don't know if you were trying to amend the motion itself, but sounds like you've reiterated what we're discussing. Am I wrong?
If that's the case, I apologize for trying to reinvent the wheel. Carry on and accept my apologies, please.
No worries. No. Okay. I see Michael Byfield. Go ahead.
Not that I'm trying to do extra work or have anyone do extra work, but we're bundling two different things. And ask me to vote on the current space that we are looking at, which I say I support. But we're saying, okay. the committee that was formed to do that, let's also have them continue to do other work. And I disagree with that. I think they've done their job, and I think we need to focus on each of them separately. Now, I say that as a former chair of the relocation committee that put WPFW on K Street and on L Street. And I don't even have an interest in being on the relocation. But the dynamics of things that are changing, especially in this country and in this region right now, requires a lot of thinking and just maybe sometimes out of the box idea. And what we're looking at right now may be very, very different even 6 months from now. So
That's time, Michael.
Okay.
Okay. All right. Miyuki, before I come to you and then I'll come to the Chair of Relocation Committee, the committee is a temporary committee. All right. It is formed for a particular purpose. The chair and its members have asked for that purpose to continue in a particular way. I'll read it again. The committee also agreed unanimously to recommend that it continue to meet as currently constituted in order to explore and recommend next steps for securing a permanent location. I just want understanding from our members. Is there a problem with the purpose of the committee as stated in the motion? Otherwise, your reconstitution means we're just going to drop the committee until needed. Wouldn't come back at all. So if you are okay with the motion as read, what is your opposition to it in particular? So I just want to make it known. If we're talking about reconstitution, we're talking about reconstituting it when needed. Miyuki.
I just wanted to explain, you know, take it further when I say this relocation committee works very well and works very effectively. When I started, we were just trying to find a place where we can just park ourselves after 1990, where we wouldn't have to pay $18,000 in rent. And so the driving focus was dollars and cents. We figured out a place to go after looking at several different spaces, a lot of different spaces, with people who are not voting members. Esther was one of the people, as a matter of fact, who was on the periphery, who found us a lot of buildings and went to a lot of sites and helped us determine what would work and what wouldn't work, as well as some others. We continually got feedback. While we were working to find a place to live, we were also looking at other options, including the Reeves building, including Mo's not here, but Mo had brought me a property that we may possibly be able to purchase. They were keeping a lot of balls up in the air, juggling, trying to figure out the best possible option for WPFW. And during that process, thanks to Addie and thanks to Frenchie, we found Sirius XM because while we couldn't get UDC to work out, we needed to be in a space that we could be, that could accommodate us quickly. And quickly, the relocation committee, they pivoted. We got into Sirius XM. It took a lot of work from Frenchie, from Mo, from Robert and others. And we did that and we're there. It's solid. And again, now stepping back and reviewing where we are, we're in a solid place. We're in a place with a good price that'll hold for a while. If we take advantage of this, we can pivot and we can figure out what our other options are. That's all. And so when I say, you know, yes, this committee was charged to do one thing, relocation. Relocation now entails the possibility of, you know, becoming part of the capital campaign. It also includes identifying a possible another space. So I'm just asking you all to consider the fact. I don't understand it. It's not broke. It works very well and has been very effective in addressing all the issues that we've had to deal with. Now we're spending an inordinate amount of time. This meeting was really going along very, very quickly, and a lot of things were getting done. Now we're stuck on this one thing, which I don't understand why it's an issue. It was
that's time. I'm sorry.
No, you're such a nice timekeeper. You don't have to apologize. I should have looked. Thank you. I'm done.
Trying to close this out here. I have Dennis, and I'm guessing. I see Minerva. In 1 second. Michael Byfield, your hand is still up. Are you satisfied? Are you okay? So go ahead, Dennis, and then Minerva.
Well, first, my first comment is that we should be clear about how many times people get to speak on each issue. My final comment is that if the board decides to sunset this committee, we will have to wait to seek guidance from the PNB. Because we've been operating under parameters prescribed by the PNB. So we'd have to get guidance from them on what a future committee would need to look like. And then we'd have to go through a process of reelecting members to a committee. So we would lose at least 2 months. of momentum. Possibly more. That's all.
Thank you, Minerva.
Yes, I was, and thank you, Dennis. That's just what I was going to bring up, since we've identified that the numbers for the committee were limited by the PMB, that we reach out to them and let them know that we have closed the search for a place to lease, and now we want to put together a committee to look at.
Hold on, please.
Did someone say something?
Hold on. Mute, please. Go ahead, Minerva.
That they identify the number, because again, it since right now there isn't a need for this committee to continue, then you know that's what we should be looking at, and I consider that to be fair to everyone. Thank you.
Art, yes, sir.
Yeah, just real quick. If it's not broke, don't fix it. I mean, it's done a great job. We are here where we are. We're saving a lot of money. Let's just keep this committee going and keep on looking.
All right. There's a motion on the floor. I'll read it again. The committee also agreed unanimously to recommend that it continue to meet as currently constituted in order to explore and recommend next steps for securing a permanent location. Motion comes from committee. There's no second. Any opposition? Hearing none, motion passes. All right, very well. We have the program committee. Minerva and
all members, right.
Do you have anything to bring to the board in terms of program committee?
The program committee did meet, and we had quite a few individuals who attended the meeting, and we elected a chair, which is myself, Minerva Sanders. We elected a vice chair, which is Mike Hurst, and we elected a secretary, which is Irene Adams. Now, the next item for the committee was to look at a mission statement for the committee, and we did have one that was pulled together by members giving input, adding the word to looking at progressive areas to see if we in the programming committee can work with the staff and the community to identify that we are looking at progressive items that would be that the community would enjoy. And that statement, we were supposed to have it ready for the members to see before we brought it to the LSB board. And we were not able to. It seems like we have a software that's not speaking the same language. If it's on an Apple, it's doing certain things. If it's on a Microsoft, it's doing another program. So we're trying to work that out to get that out to the members. So we don't have that to present tonight. We are looking at putting in place committees that will address the programming that we're providing to our community, and we're hoping to get some information from the CAB, their survey, to see what they're identifying in terms of the type music that the community wants to hear. We also are... We did ask in the meeting that individuals begin to look at the makeup of radio for the 21st century and beyond. And I see that's on the agenda tonight. And I thought, you know, that's interesting, but we did discuss that and we'll be researching that as well. And the final item was the LSB show. And it was brought forward that the information for the show, as presented by a proposal from our chair, was similar to what was currently being done by the LSB show coordinators, meaning Irene Adams and Bill Curtis. And if there's someone else, Irene or Bill, do you want to speak to that, please? Okay, so we have crickets, but that's being looked at as well. So that, in essence, right now is the report from the committee.
Thank you so much. I have a question first from Member Byfield.
I don't know if this is appropriate. So if it's not, I'm going to ask the chair of the program and committee to disregard my question. Almost every meeting since I've joined this board, I ask one particular question because it has been going on for maybe 4 or 5 years where a program director unilaterally makes decision for the entire radio station and community. And I can tell you as a scientist, she doesn't know a lot about science. As a political animal, there are some areas that she needs to be educated on. And I would like to know that our program committee, maybe working with the CAB, can finally get a handle on
where
our program is a representative of the membership. Thank you.
Okay, and Michael,
Minerva, before you respond to that, is your question, Michael, just so I understand, is your question that you're wondering if the program committee is going to work with the CAB in order to get the program director to understand what the community needs are? Is that your question, just so I can clarify?
Kamal, it's probably a combination of both.
Okay. Minerva, you have an answer for that?
What I will say at this time, Michael, is that the program committee is doing our part to work with the program director, and she was not able to join us because she was ill. And we're not looking to do anything other than identify based on our mission statement, which are what our role is, which is to look at the programming, and the CAB is also doing the same. So we would have a sharing of information and include her in it if she would like to join us, but it's not to direct her to do anything. It's to look at what does the bylaws say we're supposed to be doing, and how is it being done in terms of reaching out to the community and any other resources that we have that can help us with that is what we would be doing. Did that answer your question, Michael?
I'm going to pass. Yes and no.
All right.
Okay.
David.
Yeah, I was just going to say that I was very impressed with the minutes. They were almost at a court reporter level. And everything we talked about was in there. So I thought that was great. As far as concern about, you know, the programming, I think the program committee is on it. I think we know what our mission is, our task is, and we understand the concerns about the programming. So, you know, we talked about that. That's all I wanted to say.
Thank you, David.
Thank you, Michael.
Mike Hirsch. David.
Yeah, as vice chair of the committee, I just want to say that I understand that there are tensions that go way back. Our committee is dedicated to working in a good faith, positive way with everybody who has input to make sure that our programming is as strong as possible and to honor our programmers and our program director for all they've done and have been doing for quite some time to put together the impressive programming that we've enjoyed. And we understand that nothing's perfect and that things change and we lose programmers from time to time. And it's a tough job to make sure that we fill all those hours. And we want our committee to be very helpful to the community, to the CAB, to the LSB, to the staff, and do all we can to ease tensions and increase cooperation, because we're all on the same side here. And we all want WPFW to continue being the great station it is. and move forward strongly together. So that's really where it's coming from. We're going to set aside anything that happened before, assume only good faith from everybody, and foster a sense of teamwork and community and cooperation.
Thanks, Mike. Dennis, and then Vanessa.
Yeah, first I want to thank the program committee for its work and the direction that you've described. I think that sounds really good. I wasn't sure when or where to bring this up, but I'm just going to mention it now since the program director was invoked. We still need to come up with a plan for evaluation, which has not occurred since 2023. That's also one of the things that we are obliged to do by the bylaws. And I know that's not the job of the program committee, but since that came up. So we need to create a structure and a process to get that done this year. Thank you.
Thank you, Dennis. Vanessa.
I think Mike answered the question beautifully. I don't think I can improve upon that. There are things I could say, but I think Mike answered it beautifully. Thank you.
All right. Anything else for the program committee? All right. Moving right along. Community outreach is Violetta, are you prepared to present?
Yes.
Okay.
Good evening, everybody. The outreach committee, met, and I just wanted to say that at the same time, there was a meeting on the, anniversary party. So, Martha was kind enough to chair, and, Mariah did the meeting minutes. And I'm just going to go over our highlights. You received it in email as well. So in attendance were Art, Craig, Ellen, Kamal, Mariah, Marsha, Michael, Minerva, Robert, and myself at the beginning and end. We talked about the newsletter, and it just came out. Great job. And our events that were coming up, which is the 5K Walk and Run is confirmed for the second Saturday in September at Bladensburg Park from 8 o'clock to 1 p.m. And the ticket price will be $40, and that's including, you know, inflation. And we are planning the first of our town hall meetings, and we talked about, you know, the agenda there. The CAB will talk about the survey at the town hall, and we're going to keep perfecting that agenda. Also, there was a proposal sent to the committee about doing a membership drive, which would involve going to farmers markets and libraries with WPFW flyers, and we're going to have a subcommittee. And the goal is to have a brochure by the end of the year. But the idea is just to connect with the committee, let them know the WPFW is here, and to encourage a wider membership. Also, we discussed the in-person DCTV LSB board retreat. And DCTV is looking for a PSA time for free space for the retreat, a kind of in-kind exchange. And out of that discussion came the motion, the outreach committee moves to explore the possibility of a relationship between DCTV and WPFW to secure a location for the annual LSB retreat. Also, there were some other action items Art is going to follow up on about the mailing list for the newsletter. And we're going to be thinking about sponsors and companies for T-shirts. And Michael will be creating a shared document for the locations when we go out into the community. And I think Craig has also volunteered to help in that effort. So unless somebody else from the committee, Martha, or Mariah, anybody else, that would be it.
No, I don't have any comments.
All right. Hearing the, there is a motion coming out of that committee, so I'll state that here in a minute. But any questions, I'll take a stack. I have Michelle, Craig, and Ambrose in that order. Michelle.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, this is more, I guess, a procedural question, but that was one of the committees that I asked to be on, but I never heard anything back from anybody. So I'm just trying to find out, is there something else I need to do?
Violetta, would you so kindly?
No problem. It was an oversight. I just need your email. We meet the first Tuesday of every month at 7 o'clock p.m.
Ellen, would you make sure that Violetta has Michelle's email contact information for that committee?
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Craig, go ahead.
Yeah, so two things. Ellen, would you put me officially on the outreach committee? Because I've been during committees and I decided to join that one. One, two, just to clarify, I sort of volunteered to work on a trifold kind of flyer document that we could take to these various events so we got something to talk about ourselves. Kamal's kind of gotten me some content and I'll be glad for anybody else who wants to work on, you know, making that, putting that together. It would be great. Thanks.
Thank you, Craig. Ellen, did you get the request from Craig to be part of the outreach?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yes.
Ambrose and then Michael Byfield.
Yes, I am making the same request.
Okay. Got it.
Lastly, you know, I am a member of DCTV and, I'm doing a project with them. And they indicated to me that they would love to have a relationship with WPFW, not just for this one thing. I related that to Miyuki. She said that they have tried to establish a broader relationship with DCTV, but it never really went anywhere. So I'm just informing you that DCTV is very interested in a broader relationship.
Thank you. Member Byfield, Michael Byfield.
Yeah, I'd just like to clarify that we, maybe because Violetta wasn't in the meeting, but Kamal, you know, Kamal and I have been talking to DCTV. In the past, we have had retreats there before and we were a member where it didn't cost us anything prior to in my first term at, on the board what I tried to do was to rekindle that relationship, and the new person, I think her name is Julia, if you know her, Ambrose, she made a counter proposal to what we proposed, which is what we were used to, use of the Brooks room of the facility, once or twice or even more a year whenever it was convenient. And she proposed, her counter proposal was, hey, let's barter, Kamal, myself and Miyuki, had a meeting to discuss that. And then we brought it to the outreach committee where some very, nice ideas came out of that committee from both is it Michaela?
Mariah,
I'm sorry, Mariah, I'm sorry for butchering your name, and Craig and others as well, and we felt that was a great outreach committee meeting, and I did speak with her. It might have been this week, Monday, And they're excited. The time is moving up, because which means we would like to have our first retreat in the month of March. That might have to happen in April. But from what I gather in our last meeting, I think we have really hit onto something. And again, I want to give a lot of credit to Mariah and Craig for just some of their ideas.
All right, just so I can...
Time ran out, Michael. I ain't saying nothing because you were speaking some good stuff.
Thanks, Robert.
Before I get to you, Verna, just so we can tee it up, because there's a motion on the table from the Outreach Committee, and it's moving to explore the possibility of a relationship between DCTV and WPFW to secure a location for the annual LSB retreat. It sounds like there's some additional ideas around what that relationship looks like. But the motion on the floor does ask this board to determine if we want to go forward and determine how we can make sure the relationship works. We're able to hold our in exchange for something. And it sounds like we want a little bit of PSA time. And we'd have to address management for that. But first, we have to be sure what we want to do before we can step to management and ask them to perform in on our behalf. So just with that said, Verna, go ahead with what you
have. Yeah, I really kind of wanted to extrapolate on what this relationship between DCTV and WPFW might be. Are they going to... Do they have spaces and locations, or they're just going to contribute ideas? That's one thing. The other point that I wanted to make is, you know, I'm really excited about your ideas to have to go out and meet people at the farmers markets, et cetera, especially with spring and summer coming. But I was wondering if maybe you had thought about or considered maybe inviting one or two programmers to actually join you with that, because oftentimes when people meet someone who is actually on the air, you know, if they are listeners, that is just sort of enhances it for them. And if they're not, you know, it's just a positive experience. And not that they would come with you every time, and not that it would be the same programmer every time, but maybe reach out to them and see if they would be willing to do that. And thank you for your creativity and your work, Violetta and committee. That's it.
Thank you and the committee. Verna, that would be excellent. We want the programmers to be with us with everything we do, you know, for the visits to the community, at the town hall meetings, everything we do. So, if you have an idea how we can do that better, to coordinate that better, but the invitation is always open. And the other thing is that I was at another meeting. I just was there at the beginning and the evening, so I can't speak to the relationship. Maybe Michael or someone else can with DCTV. You wanted more information on that.
Yeah. Let me, I tried to tee it up a second ago. Let me try and do it again. So the basic bottom line of what, committee, first Michael, let me give some history. Michael initially, member Byfield initially said that he would organize a retreat. In trying to secure that, location at DCTV for the retreat, they came back because of some back and forth about the room, considered a counter proposal, of allowing the DCTV folk to present some PSAs for reading on air in exchange for us to have our retreat at their location. That's the bottom line, kind of baseline of what was proposed. There was additional conversation at the committee meeting in which other things were layered in, but this particular motion, and I believe anyone from the committee, correct me if I'm wrong, this particular motion is asking for us as a board to iron out and pursue that relationship, the PSA for room retreat in order for us to have the retreat. And then from there, if there are other things, Member Lane has mentioned his contacts there, so on and so forth, we can expand on that. But I think the baseline objective for this is to try and secure some space for our retreat. All right. So that's what I'm teeing up as a motion here and from the committee. Do we want to go forward with that? And that's what the committee is asking here tonight. Anybody from the committee? Corrections, updates? We're good on that? Okay. I see Ron. Go ahead, Ron, and then we'll find if there's any objections. Go ahead, Ron.
The only concern I have about this is the quid pro quo. I don't know where we stand right now in terms of what we can accept, for PSAs, or any other type of advertising. That question is to me is the only thing that's holding us back. If we can get some clarity on that from management as to what we can and cannot do, then I think that will go a long way to, moving this forward. But to just put this on, you know, management's table when they know we can't, that we're going to run into issues with this, would be irresponsible. So I'm not shooting the idea down. I just say, let's just take the idea, you know, take the proposal to management and see if there's going to be any issue regarding use of space and advertising their product, because it is a product. So that's my concern.
Just so we're clear, the word advertising never came up. So that's not what's going on there, but.
No, the PSAs.
Yeah, but I do agree with you that detail, there's a skeleton right now of the word explore, and we're trying to put some meat on the bones and present it to management with an idea, and then we can kind of go forward from there. I think initially we just need, the committee would like the full support or majority support of the board to pursue that activity. Okay. So that's the first step. Once we get there, then we can get the parties together and kind of have that discussion. So I'm just trying to expedite the vote here and make sure we're not, getting lost in kind of the, you know, pie in the sky. What else can we do? You know, activity. So I see Verna, you had a comment already. Let me go to Dennis. I'll come to Verna and then we'll end with, Michael Byfield. Go ahead, Dennis.
Yeah, I get your point, Ron. I just think it's backwards. So the idea is that the motion is for if the board agrees that that we should explore, then whatever then comes out of that clearly would have to be cleared by management according to the protocols set down by the PNB. But if we don't want to even explore, if we shoot this down, then they don't even have to go. There's nothing to ask about yet. So this is the idea. It would be to move forward enough to come up with a specific proposal. And then when we've got that proposal in hand, then that would be something that would need to be cleared. I agree. We definitely need to make sure that we are, you know, within the bounds of propriety and what we can, what that quid pro quo can be, but first we have to explore and come up with one. That's all.
Verna.
Okay. I guess I'm a little disappointed to hear that the retreat is actually going to be in some room at BCTV. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong, but I was thinking a retreat. We would go somewhere in a different location, a suburban, outside, do some interesting stuff, get outside of our normal, you know, business-like, board-like routine, and really get to know each other in a different environment. And so if this is going to lock us into some agreement with DCTV and having our retreat, you know, in one of their office buildings, I would sort of be reluctant to do that. That's all I have to say.
Thank you. Michael, you've had your bite. Let me go to Vanessa and then I'll come back to you, Michael, to close this out. Vanessa.
No, I just wanted to respond to Verna. I've been to both types of retreats, where, you know, the more traditional type where you get out of town, you go someplace interesting and, you know, kind of isolated and away from, you know, the busyness. But I don't know that we have that kind of an option, both in terms of time and cost. I have been to two over the years, PFW retreats at DCTV, and I thought both of them, at least, you know, it's maybe not so much the place as the way it's conducted, like who you have facilitating the event, like what's on the agenda, the spirit that everybody brings to it. But I thought that they worked out really well. If we can figure out how to go to, you know, somewhere else, that would be great. But, you know, as a backup location, it has, you know, it has worked in the past.
Michael and then Miyuki. Byfield, excuse me.
You know, actually, since Miyuki is going to speak.
Yeah.
I don't need to speak.
You know, wait. Okay. Miyuki.
I'm not sure why, Michael, except for the fact that Michael and I had a conversation. He brought this idea to me about DCTV, and I've been sitting here waiting for him. I should have just let you go, Michael. I'm sorry. Michael asked me whether or not we could trade airtime PSA on WPFW for DCTV. I asked him what was in it for WPFW. And I beg your pardon, Chair, not to step on your agenda. I know you have this topic coming up, but both to Chairman Kamau Harris and also to Dennis Williams, I emphasize with both of them that I think it's very important that the LSV stand on its own in terms of whatever it is that they did. I'd be happy to entertain. When I spoke to Michael couldn't tell me a specific advantage it would be for WPFW to do that for a PSA for the LSV to have a space. So maybe after he discusses it more, or maybe I'll have a discussion with Ambrose or something, I'll maybe have a better understanding of it. But before that, I still really encourage the LSB to take care of their own bills and do their own things. I love the LSB members. I will help the LSB as much as we can. But I'm just saying that the airtime is very, very precious. And you just have to make me understand why it'd be an advantage for WPFW, for the WPFW LSB, to have somebody underwrite them on our time.
Fair enough. Thank you. And, okay, Ambrose, and then we're going to go and try and get to a vote here before the top of the hour. Ambrose, go ahead.
Yes, the comments made just speaks to the fact that we really need to think through a broader relationship with DCTV, because there is one to be had if we want to pursue it. I think it would be advantageous in many different ways, and just broader than the retreat.
Okay, thank you. And Mariah.
Thanks. Ambrose, this question is for you, since you have a relationship with them. Do you know if they are, do they have segments where they bring on businesses, like local businesses or organizations, and basically promote them?
So one of the things that came out of committee, I didn't read through the report fully, was an understanding of what the segments on DCTV are available, and if so, do they have things that would, as Member McLean has mentioned, you know, small business activity, things of that nature. Do you know?
Yeah, I think that they do. But let me just state that in my discussion with them, when I told them that I'm a producer on WPFW, and we got into the discussion, they were actually interested in some programmatic areas that we could join forces in. In addition to that, they actually have a podcast studio on their third floor, a newly developed podcast studio. So even if we wanted to develop a WPFW podcast, we could develop a WPFW podcast. There's a whole range of things that we could talk to them about in terms of developing a relationship. It's just a matter of making sure that, that we can cross T's, dot I's and get some clarity in terms of what we can and can't do and how that's going to be mutually beneficial. Because I think that, you know, we can take this, we can actually do a WPFW TV if we wanted to.
All right. We're at time for this. I'm going to quickly go to Craig and then we're going to go call the vote. Go ahead, Craig.
If we want the room, can we rent it?
I will take that question back and we'll find out in our exploration. How about that? We'll do it that way. If we can rent it, yeah, we'll find out. We'll do some kind of comparison and see what the cost is there. Yeah, not a problem. Very valid question though, after all this back and forth. All right. So again, the motion on the table is for the, relocation, for this board to explore further a relationship between WPFW, and DCTV, in order to secure a retreat location for the board. Kind of discussion. Is there any opposition to the motion coming out of committee? All right. Hearing none, the motion passes. What we'll do then, I'm going to charge that committee, Violetta, and your officers, if you could quickly get a meeting together. It's probably going to have to be outside of your normal meeting times in order to kind of schedule something where the correct or the folks of import in terms of this situation are contacted, and then we can cobble together something for management and the authoritative parties to review. All right. So we want to make sure we get that sooner rather than later, just because of the situation where we're going to lose some time, you know, in the year to get this retreat done. Okay. And I would suggest, member Byfield, you know, be involved in that as closely as possible, and probably member Lane as well. All right, we have PNB Director's Report. I see Ron, your hand. Go ahead.
Yeah, just one quick question about DCTV. Isn't that one of the locations that we looked at early on in our relocation search?
Yeah. We had ideas of that as well. But they were not in the rental property business. They were kind of skittish. Had it up there initially as a thought, but I think quickly backed off. So.
Okay. Nice.
Yeah. All right. Our directors, member Sanders, member Hewitt, member Williams, and, who's our last member? Gosh, I'm going to forget.
Me.
Oh gosh. Member Pinchback. You all are on deck. I don't know who wants to go ahead and go, but anything we need to hear from our PNB directors in the way of what's been happening at the national board? Should I go in alpha order? I'll go in alpha order. How about that? So, Hewitt.
Shoot, I was hoping I wasn't the first person. I was just trying to look up. I'm sorry, I'm exhausted. And so I was just trying to look up what meetings we've had and what we did at those meetings, since the last, LSB meeting. I think, probably the biggest thing, you know, worth reporting is, the motion that we passed at this week we have a meeting that's in closed session only. Last week we had a meeting and we passed a motion. So that was March 6th. In the closed session at that meeting, I think the open session wasn't very long and I don't remember anything earth shattering happening there. We had a meeting on February 20th and I don't remember off the top of my head what happened there. But the thing that I was going to report is the motion that we passed last meeting in the closed session, but it's part of the report out. And it's that, Pacifica, I don't have it in front of me right this second. So I'm paraphrasing here. Well, no, let me pull it up. Does somebody else have it up? Dennis, Minerva, Ron?
No,
I can pull it. My computer rebooted right before this meeting. That's why I don't have it handy.
Did you want to?
Are you talking about the readout from the closed session?
The handoff? Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly. Hang on, I can find it.
Well, why are you looking for that?
Go ahead.
One of the things that did come out in the open session, and this was regarding the management of the network, the station managers. Stephanie did announce that within 6 months, they hope to have all the managers in permanent positions. Right now, none are. None of the managers in the network are permanent managers. So they hope to complete the process of identifying and hiring managers within the next 6 months. Those who are currently serving as managers will be given the opportunity to apply. But that's the goal to, within the next 6 months, have all the managers hired and in place.
I could just go ahead and add a little bit to what Ron just said there.
Mm-hmm.
I think the idea is that the executive director was going to post the job announcements for all of those publicly, you know, make them public and put them out there. And part of that's because we have an attorney who helps us with FCC regulatory matters. And the FCC says that we should have, you know, we should not have people sitting in interim general manager positions for long periods of time. And so they were concerned that that was something that we ought to fix sooner rather than later. Don't wait. And so so the executive director did post the job openings on the Pacifica website. I don't know where else it might be posted. I think she was trying to get it posted on the station websites. I just don't know if that's happened yet. I haven't had a chance to look. But the other thing about that is they were asking for LSBs, you know, to help with things like, you know, like if you know somebody who's qualified or potentially qualified, you know, strongly encourage them to apply, because the bigger and the better the pool of candidates, the better the GM we wind up hiring will be. And then the second thing was, if people can think of places where we should post the position description and, you know, the job ad to attract better candidates, things that would, you know, be, you know, especially relevant to the DMV area, that we should let the executive director know, and she can get, you know, try to get it posted in those places. So thanks, Ron. I said I wasn't sure that much happened, but I didn't remember that part. So I did find the report out from the closed session for the March 6th meeting, and I can read that to people.
Give me 1 second, Julie, before you do that. Yep. What's that time for this particular item? Is there a motion to extend so that we can get a full report out?
Move to extend.
We'll extend for what? 5 minutes? 10 minutes?
10.
The recommendation. 10 minutes?
Seconded.
Any opposition to extending this for 10 minutes? Hearing none. Go ahead, Julie.
Okay. So here's the report out. The PNB met in executive session for the purpose of discussing the confidential legal matter of Pacifica versus New Day and passed the following motion. Move that the Pacifica National Board set a date for an executive session follow-up PNB meeting on March 13, 2025. Giving authorization for our Pacifica Executive Director, Stephanie Wells, Pacifica National Board Chair, Susan Young, Pacifica National Board Chair, Pacifica National Board Vice Chair, Minerva Sanders, and Pacifica National Board Secretary, Julie Hewitt, to investigate and engage in communications with attorneys and others as needed about preparation for possible mediation and settlement of the case Pacifica versus New Day,
and to present their findings and recommendations to the PMB at the March 13, 2025 meeting. That's the report out.
Thank you. Did you have anything further? I'll go to our next, which is Pinchback. Anything further from?
Yeah, I wanted to comment on that motion.
Before you comment, let's go ahead and get a little bit more, and then we'll circle back with a full stack, Ron, if you want to go ahead and get yourself on the stack. Sanders, Member Sanders, anything you'd like to report out?
Well, I wanted to share. I think someone had already provided to Ellen the executive director's report from the meeting that was to be made available to the public. So we should have that. And I see Myla also put it in the chat, which speaks to the expenses. And she identified that Pacifica was doing well with incoming funds, and that she identified again that WPFW, along with two other stations, were paying their central services, and they were going to be looking at working to pull together the audit team to do the audits for the years of 22, and I want to say 23, and I'm just doing that off the top of my head, but her report gives that information for all, and we have not yet brought together the committees for the governance or audit committee, because we needed to get the final names of the individuals from the LSBs that would be part of those committees. So should be coming out within the next week or so when those initial meetings will be scheduled or convened, so we can go ahead and get those committees up and working for 2025. So that's my part.
Mr. Chair.
Yep. Go ahead, Ron, real quick. Yep.
The coordinating committee is also, has not convened yet also. So, that's another committee, in the process of being convened. When, I do not know, but that's on the agenda.
All right. We'll hear from Director Williams, and then we will go ahead and take a stack. Go ahead,
Dennis. Yeah, I am on the finance committee. That committee has been meeting, and so far the primary business in both open and closed session is reviewing the current and past financial situation at WBAI. That's all.
Thank you. All right.
Sir, if I might.
Yes, go ahead. Julie.
Yeah, I found my notes from the February 20th meeting, and there was a lot of stuff about committees at the February 20th meeting, but the other interesting thing is that we had a closed session meeting that evening, and that's again where we heard from the FCC attorney that we have, and the subject of the meeting, it was closed session, but the subject of the meeting was basically his advice regarding what Pacifica should do about Project 2025. So I can't go into more detail than that, but in open session. But at any rate, I just thought people might find that interesting.
That's good to address. Absolutely. All right, we'll take a stack. I see Vanessa. I think Ron wanted to bite at the apple. Vanessa, go ahead.
Did Ron already report as a director?
He made his statement. Yes, go ahead.
Oh, okay. Okay. All right. Okay. So two things, and apologize if I missed it. Maybe Minerva reported on it. Governance committee, what's happening with that? Governance and audit. And the other things, that's a question, the comment, in terms of the PNB deciding to engage in mediation with regard to New Day. My last recollection is that the network is in a position of strength. In terms of the court case, so I'm not sure why the PNB would vote to engage in what I would consider to be regressive bargaining against itself potentially, by engaging in a process to mediate
which to me would only result in losing ground. To me, that's the problem with having a majority New Day PNB, but it is what it is.
Thank you. Anybody else with questions for our directors? Julie, you have your hand? Is that a hand or?
I was just ready to answer Vanessa's question if.
Go ahead.
But if you want to take more questions first.
I don't see anybody on the stack, so go ahead. You can,
I'm on the stack.
Oh, that's right, Ron. I didn't see your hand. Go ahead, Ron.
Yeah, there's very little I can say about that motion, because it was held in executive session. But that motion, which would give 3 to 4 individuals the power to negotiate on the network's behalf and come up with some findings by the 13th, next week, that's unreasonable. And the other issue is that, you know, my concern is that, there needs to be a proper discussion, you know, of what's taking place regarding New Day. Okay. Once again, there are issues here that I cannot divulge because that was an executive session. But in the interest of preventing another steamroller, we really need to consider passing a motion that would include, that would give us the opportunity to hear this information before these decisions are made. That's my concern. And there's a lot of history there. A lot of history, that even involves the attorney, the network attorney. So it wasn't as cut and dry as it seems to appear to be. We had quite a substantial number of folks on that board who voted against that, for the same reasons. So that being said, I think, this body needs to hear what is being planned or what is being conceived, in the dark, because we don't have, I can't tell you about it because this is an executive session, you know, but you guys need to hear this. And, so whatever we can do to facilitate that, I would encourage us to do so.
Ron, were you prepared to make a motion? Is that what I heard?
Yeah. I'd like to make a motion for us to have an executive session to examine this, this proposal. Because it's deeper than, you know, that's being indicated. Now the question is to do that because they're meeting on the 13th.
It's tomorrow.
Yeah. So, you know, I didn't like that either. You know, that this could get bum rushed because there's no way we can give you guys the opportunity.
Okay, hold on. We're almost at time. So let me try and give you back what you're saying. Are you saying you'd like to make a motion to go into executive session to hear the information as presented to the PNB? Is that what I'm hearing?
Yes, but I wish we had more time to do that. That's my problem.
You can make a motion. It doesn't, the body to determine.
Dennis, help me out here.
All I was going to say is that, even if we're in executive session, we are forbidden to share information from the PNB executive session with the LSB, with the non-directors on the LSB. It's not just the public. We can't share information with the LSB. So I just wanted to say that, whatever happens, the process is structured in such a way that, we can't, you know, first of all, yeah, the results of the negotiation that was referred to in the report out, as it says in the report, that those results will be reported back to the PNB tomorrow. So there is no time. And after that, you know, what happens with the court case? I don't know the timing of that, but, it is, I don't see any way for us to certainly, to debate or discuss, what might happen before it happens. And something could happen that affects, the network and the LSB by our next meeting, but, there's no way to discuss it.
We're at time for this particular item on the agenda. Is there a motion to extend?
Move to extend to at least answer Vanessa's question.
Motion to extend to answer question. Any opposition?
Go Robert ahead. Also.
Robert was on the stack. Any opposition to hearing from Member Gordon? Okay, go ahead, Robert, and then we'll try to answer Vanessa's question. Ron, before we clear that, Ron, are you withdrawing the motion? Sounds like you're withdrawing that, correct?
Yeah, I'm withdrawing the motion, for obvious reasons. So,
okay.
All right. But this is something we're going to have to revisit.
Got it. Robert.
Okay. I'll try and be quick. This is really for what it's worth, I guess, just to throw into the mix, and I'll try and not go too deep into the weeds, but I've taking a look at the court file of the case that's being discussed and possibly, you know, subject to going into mediation, et cetera, et cetera. I've read the judge's opinion, that ruled against New Day in terms of the big issue presented, which was whether or not the bylaws could be amended, to really take away power, from the local station boards. All right. That was resolved in favor of Pacifica at that time. And there are two other issues, I think, that are still outstanding. And I can send a copy of the opinion and a copy of the amended complaint to anybody who would like to take a look at it. So I'll just say it this way. And with all due respect to those that are involved in it, it's my understanding that two of the people that were identified that are now going to negotiate a settlement on behalf of Pacifica are the leaders of New Day. Okay. So that is a clear ethical conflict that should not be, sanctioned by Pacifica. All right. Whether or not there's anything that can be done about it at this point, whether or not there's enough time to, you know, step in and divert the situation, before it gets out of hand. But I couldn't sit here and listen to this discussion without making that point, because to the extent that any settlement would reverse what that opinion already ruled, then that's a circumstance that I think everybody in this meeting should be really, really, really concerned about, and concerned enough to try and do something if there is something that can be done. And that's my comment. And if anyone wants a copy of the opinion in the amended complaint so you can read it for yourself, I'd be happy to provide it to you. That's my comment, Kamel.
Robert, if you want to go ahead and give it to the secretary and we can have it sent out to the membership. Yeah, thank you. All right, so to answer Vanessa's question, Julie?
Yeah, so Robert's not wrong about the court decision that the judge offered, but the case is not closed 100%, right? The judge also ordered us to mediation. So Vanessa, it wasn't that the board chose to go to mediation. It's the court told us we had to go to mediation. So, you know, the point is it's not actually optional. So.
Right. No, you, if and, I can.
Just, hold on.
Yeah, go ahead.
Hold on, Robert. Give her a second. Go ahead, Julie.
So that was the main point I wanted to make. It's also my understanding, because this may or may not be obvious from all of the public court record, although I think it probably could be. The judge who rendered the original decision that found for Pacifica, I think has since retired, and we have a new judge, and that's the judge who ordered mediation. And so you know, there's a little bit of confusion. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. And just for the record, because we're in a public meeting and other people are listening, I am not New Day. So if people think that I'm one of the two people, it's not me.
All right. Can I respond to that real quick, Kamel?
Yeah, and then we're going to move forward just so we did say we're going to answer that one question, but yes. I'll give you that. Go ahead.
Just to clarify, and I can give folks the case number, and y'all can go into the Superior Court and take a look at the docket if you want to. The last time I looked was about 2 months ago, and it looked like the case was on the verge of being dismissed for a technical reason. All right, I want to make that clear. It wasn't that, you know, something was wrong or somebody was going to lose or not lose or win, et cetera. It was a technical reason. All right. But whether or not the judge orders mediation would not absolve any ethical question that may be outstanding as to who can negotiate a settlement.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. Thank you, everybody, for that. I really appreciate the report from our directors and the discussion. We do have some information to review. Our vice chair will get that to the secretary and, we'll share the public information. All right. New business. Financial support for Zoom and parliamentarian. Some of the things that, are happening, in and around, what we do require money. And one of the concerns that the, local station management has is that we are, currently charging our Zoom activity, of which we are using tonight, and our need for a parliamentarian are both kind of wrapped up in our activity here. We had a parliamentarian for a while. We have since reached out to Carmela Watkins. She's been here. Carmela Watkins, I always use too many syllables. Carmela Watkins, she's actually been here for the last 2 months. Very discreet, and very professional. I shared her bio with everybody. So there's some cost for her, for the parliamentarian, and there's a cost for the Zoom account. In total, the cost for this board, for both of those, which we feel are necessary activities, would be $984.90 annually in total. That's $159.90 for the Zoom account and roughly $825 for a parliamentarian. A breakdown of a cost per member is roughly $41 for the year. I need a motion if we're comfortable with that cost, if we think that's too much, not enough. But I would like a motion from somebody or at least a discussion in and around how we anticipate paying for these costs that we are incurring as a board. I see. Go ahead.
Oh, sorry.
Mike, go ahead. You have a motion?
I'd like to move $50 from each of us to cover these expenses and any other incidentals. Second. It's around $50.
Okay.
Second it.
Okay. It's moved by Member Hirsch, Ellen, that the membership support these costs at the tune of $50 per member, seconded by several members. I'll go with Member Williams. What's the discussion? Vanessa, your hand. Go ahead.
$50 per
member for the year. That's an annual.
Okay. All right. And how would, I guess that's a logistical issue, but how would payment be remitted and to whom?
So what I was offering is a part of this. All of us give the $50 to the station as a contribution. You can write it off on your taxes and the station will go ahead and pay the expenses, related to both the parliamentarian and the Zoom account.
Okay.
All right. I'd like to amend my motion to include that, provided that would work for Miyuki.
We have, is Miyuki still with us? I don't know if she's still here or not, but we can check with her. I think that works. Miyuki, yep, she's here. Go ahead.
Thank you, Mike.
That does work? Or...
Yeah, that's great. Okay. Thank you.
All right. Vanessa.
No, that was it. Thank you so much.
All right, we have a motion on the floor that the contributions per delegate of $50 be sent to the station in the form of a contribution for the station to then pay the cost for both our parliamentarian and Zoom account. We have one more hand for discussion. Minerva. And then Julie. Minerva, go ahead.
Okay. Thank you, Kamal. Let me ask, we put together a budget items for the station for this year. Each committee did that. Did it not include in that budget information to identify funds for the, which would be the Zoom and also be a parliamentarian? And we did collect funds last year, $4,000 and something. Why were those funds, why wasn't that expense being taken from those funds?
So I don't know about the 4,000. I work in reverse. I'm not quite sure where the 4,000 is coming from, but, the parliamentarian was never budgeted. That was not anything that was in the budget at all. And the Zoom account was in the budget. However, as a consequence of that budget, we were in a deficit, if you all remember that. So, this is our opportunity as an LSB, to go ahead and not, subject the organization to more of a deficit and cover the cost, for these two items. So I think that's what's, the purpose of the, motion is here tonight.
Okay. Kamala, just real quick, we collected those funds for the 5K in September of 2024. There was no deficit at the time, and it finally took them until our last meeting to validate that we had turned those funds in. And those are the funds that I'm speaking about. And you're right, the parliamentarian was not part of it. But we at that time did have a bill from the previous parliamentarian. And at that same meeting, I raised the same question. Why are we not taking, it's not a lot of money. And also no one's telling us what those funds are being used for. Thank you.
Okay. I mean, I'm not going to go back over the finance report, but you get a finance report. I think all of those funds from those particular activities go into the general fund for the station. The finance report is what it is. If you'd like to review it again, we can. Like I said, the budget was a deficit budget. In fact, we were challenged pretty heavily at the National Finance Committee regarding this deficit budget. So, I don't know about the 4,000, how you want to reconcile that. I think, you know, the committee needs to tell the management how they want that 4,000 to be used. If it's something that they're going to turn over to the station, you need to make it a very specific reason or use for the particular funds. If not, it goes into the general fund to be used, for operations. I think we have to be specific about that if our committees are concerned about how the funds are going to be used going forward. We really have to restrict those donations if we're going to do it that way. All right.
Thank you.
All right. Julie, go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, I'm happy to donate, but what I would like for us to do is have a way to record that we've made our donations, right, that are specifically for satisfying this purpose, right, so that we can tell, say, by the time we meet next month, you know, 10 of 24 people donated or 17 of 24 people donated. You know what I mean? So that we can, you know, make sure that we get there, because the whole point, and this is my other point, money is fungible, right? And so once you make the donation, it's not like we're going to sequester those funds and only spend those funds. They go into the general pot. The whole idea is for the LSB, as Miyuki noted earlier, to not impose a burden on the station in terms of, you know, we come and we bring expenses, but we don't help raise the funds, right? And so that's the sense in which we want to be able to make sure there's an accounting so that it's like my $50 donation gets counted towards this. It's not part of Julie's general donation to the station. It's for this purpose. Sorry.
Yes. Yep. That's the restriction I think we need to put on it. Not sure other than a manual process. I'd have to see what Miyuki had, that's available. But in my experience, you know, spreadsheets manually maintained can kind of work, but I don't know. What does Otis's system do for us, Miyuki?
Yeah, that was my question. That would it be possible? And is Tom still here? Tom Chase? He is. Tom, would it be possible for everyone to send the check or whatever to Tom, and then we get it to the station, and then, I mean, because right now 24 people tracking down 24 people's $50 deposit, and then make sure that you can do the tax. It's a lot, but if it could all go to Tom, and then Tom could submit it saying this is from the LSB, and then if we need to do tax receipts or everything, it'll be all collected to whatever that those names or whatever we have to figure out a method rather than each of you individually sending them out and having Satari and Vinny have to go backtrack to figure out who did the 50 and who didn't do the 50. It'd be much easier if you all would submit that together is all I'm at. I would appreciate that. And thank you for what you said, Julie, as well as Kamau in terms of where the money goes after. But thank you. If you would consider that, it'd be much appreciated because it'd be a lot for them to ask Satari if any track down 24 $50 pledges.
I think the mechanics will have to work out.
Kamau, I'm sorry to interrupt you.
You want to add to that? Yeah, go ahead, Tom.
Yeah, if folks make the donation online, I can pull a report from Otis System, you know, starting today until the next meeting. You know, who on this group put in $50, I could tell you that.
All right. I mean, there's not always someone that's going to just give a straight 50 either. So, I mean, it's a little complicated. Let's talk about the mechanics, offline. I think what we need to do is at least secure our vote here on whether or not to do it. And I think we can, have some options on the mechanics of how to do it. Going forward, there's several different ways I think we can probably get it done. But thank you, Tom. I have, member Curtis, Bill Curtis, and then David. I thought I saw Craig. You took your hand down? Okay. Bill, go ahead and then David. Go ahead, Bill.
Thank you. I'm a little, why this isn't being the general fund of WPFW.
I'm sorry, Bill, you broke up a little bit there, sir. Could you go ahead and repeat that? Yes. You said something about general fund.
I said as to why for
Bill, you're still breaking up. We can't hear you.
We're having a difficult time here.
I think he's asking why we aren't paying for this just from the general fund.
Oh, okay.
Why?
Go ahead. All right. I try to answer that as best as I could. The general fund, like I said, did include a budget of $159.90 for the Zoom account. The budget does not include the additional monies to secure a parliamentarian. Now, I will say the parliamentarian is optional, but, seeing as though there's expertise on our board in regards to Robert's rules and the bylaws, it's always helpful to have a parliamentarian in support of our activities. So that's a cost that we would incur if we were to have a parliamentarian support our meetings. That was not in the budget. That is something that, when the budget was produced, was not drawn in. It was not available to us, that cost, that number. So if you're asking why it's not coming out of the general fund, we haven't built that into the budget. I'm not sure, given the climate,
no adjustment
can be made, where we have been in terms of just cash flow and deficit, that it's not, you know, proper to support the station in some way. And this is why we're bringing this forward as a way in which I know we do what we do and other folks have been giving and doing their thing, but this is a direct consequence of us meeting and coming together each month to operate that we support the station in this manner. That's why it's not coming out of the general fund. David.
Yes. First, I think that the amount should be based on what we feel the expenses are. You had mentioned a figure of $41, and I would want the contribution level to be that $41 or whatever 24 into the total amount is, because well, that's the first issue. I don't think we should be asking people to give more than what's required to meet the expense. Okay, the second thing is what troubles me is that, you know, there may be some board members who are of means who can, you know, that maybe $41 or $50 contribution is easily done. And then there may be others where that may be a concern. And that concerns me, that everybody's giving the same amount, but some people may have more of a means to give than others. And that's my comment.
Yeah, no, well taken. Definitely a concern. And I think that's why we have to have that discussion. Go ahead, Craig.
I just tested it out. I just gave $50 for the Caribbeana show. So you have to identify a show, but there is a comment field at the end of the transaction. So I noted in the comment that it was for the LSB Zoom / other fund. So maybe that helps. I don't know.
Yeah. Miyuki, what does that do for your bookkeeping on your end? Does that make sense or no?
That's fine. But again, Tom's going to have to track the 24 people. I appreciate he's willing to do that, but that's LB. But you have to tell him, there's no way that it's not, you can't filter by the comment, LSB donation. Be filtered by the show, everything. So, Craig, he just informed Tom that it's on Caribbeana, $50 for the LSB. So now he can check it off that way. So everyone, as they do that individually, has to let Tom know what those are, and then he can follow up.
I originally thought we should all just do it to Ambrose's show to the east, so he'd look like a star. But
All right. Thank you for that. I appreciate it. All right. Any other discussion with that? So I think member Kiasi has amended. I don't want to speak for him. Are you amending the motion to reduce the or to substitute the $50 for the exact amount of 41? Is that something you'd like to do?
Yes, it is.
Okay. Yeah. All right. So we have an amendment on the table. Any discussion around the amended, from $50 to $41? Mike Hirsch.
Yeah. The reason I said 50 rounding it up is it's easier to do. And second of all, that would give us a little leeway if people have some hardship and couldn't pitch in. We could all kind of pitch in without making a big deal about it and cover anybody who, felt, things are a little tight, and I've been there. So I'm not judging anybody, believe me.
Thank you. Dennis.
Yeah, I agree with the notion of wiggle room. The Zoom price could go up in the middle of the year. Anything could happen. It's just kind of rounding up. It is more, but, it seems to me a reasonable roundup. So I would prefer the original 50.
The amendment is for the cost of the contribution per member to come down from $50 to $41. I'm hearing opposition.
I have opposition.
Before I go ahead.
Why don't you give anywhere between $41 and $50? If you want to give and can give $50, give it. If you want to give and can give $41, give it. That would be my recommendation.
Yeah. Keep in mind, we're trying to make this easy.
This, I got it. But we got to follow the rules here. So is there opposition to the amendment as proposed? Oh, I'm sorry. Yes. Is there opposition to the amendment as proposed? Sounds like there was, but.
Yeah, I oppose it.
Okay.
Alan, can you call the roll? I'd like to accept as a friendly amendment Minerva's statement that people give between $41 and $50 or more if they can.
Friendly amendment, $41 and $50. Anybody opposed to that?
Verna's suggestion.
Thank you, Verna. I was getting ready to give him the same statement. Thank you.
My bad. I'm sorry.
Anybody opposed to the friendly amendment between $41 and $50, the range?
Question.
Yes.
We asked Tom about managing. Now we're talking about giving anywhere from $41 to $50. I'm thinking about the ability to track this money easily, identify this money easily, without having Tom go through a whole bunch of remunerations. Well, he did 70, he did 42, she did 40, he did 39 or whatever. All I'm saying is that $50 is reasonable. Okay. And it's for a whole year. And it makes it easy for us to track that money. That's the important thing, that it be tracked, identified, that it not get mixed in with the general fund, because we'll be right back here this having this discussion again.
Okay.
So I say let's just keep it at 50, make it simple, and call it a night.
Brief comment, Chair.
One more comment so we can go ahead and get through this one. We got a couple more items.
We're we're not talking about 41 or 39 or anything. We're talking about 41 or 50. Now that should be easy to track. As long as
two options?
Hold on, Ron.
As long as $41 is given, 41 or more, you can write that off as that was a contribution to the LSB's fund for the parliamentarian and the Zoom. It's simple. And it takes into consideration people that can't give $50.
Okay. More. I think Julie had something that she'd like to say, and then we'll try to dispose of the $41 amendment, which is the first one on the table. Go ahead.
I think the key thing is Tom will be able to find it if everybody shoots Tom a note after you make your donation to say, I made a donation to the blah blah show, and then he'll be able to go there and see that you put in the comment box, this is for the LSB Zoom parliamentarian, account. That's it. It's simple. It's not hard.
Okay. All right. So the amendment from Member Chiasi was to take the contribution from 50 to 41.
I got a question.
Did you want David to?
I have a question, Chair.
Who's that? Bill, go ahead.
Bill. Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm on my other phone now. It's a little clear. I missed the majority of this discussion. So, what is this, $50 a month, $41 a month?
The math comes to 41. The motion was for 50.
It's not a month. It's
one year.
Oh, okay. All right, sure. I don't have a problem with that, but just in principle, I still say, station raises money. The LSB raises money. But we have to come out like a tax to pay parliamentarian, which I do. Well, I've written emails to that effect. Parliamentary is important. But just in principle, I'm just baffled that there's this distinction between WPFW's money and then the board has to specifically pay for two items. Now, I'll take that a step further. And the timekeeper is probably looking at this clock right now. But there's the LSB raises funds. So I'd say also, why don't you just yank it from there? You know, take it from the funds that the LSB through its activities raise. You know, but again, I'm going to repeat. I don't have a problem with the 50 bucks or the 41 bucks, but in principle, it does not make sense to me. It does not. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you. David, quickly, please.
Yes. Since I made the amendment to drop it to 41, I will modify my amendment to say 41 to 50.
All right. So you're going to drop your 41 and go with the friendly amendment from 41 to 50?
Yes. Yes.
Anybody opposed to the friendly amendment?
Point of information, point of clarity.
Yes.
Are you saying 41 or 50? Or are you saying anywhere from 41 to 50?
Correct. You can give 41, which is the division of, which is what the math says, all the way up to 40,000. But what we're trying to collect here for this purpose is trying to get us to commit to the $41 for the year.
So that's what I'm saying is, are we asking for $41 or 41 or 50?
There's a range, anything between 41 and 50.
That's what I wanted to be clear about. Thank you.
Yeah, anything between 41 and 50.
Mr. Chair, could you ask whomever to mute? We're getting a lot of.
Yeah, I think that's Member Byfield. It sounds like you're. Yep. All right.
To be clear, my amendment was not anywhere between 41 and 50. It was 41 or 50, just to be clear.
Okay. You heard the amendment. So the 41 has been disposed. We're now 41 or 50. I have Miyuki, and then we're going to ask if we're okay with the friendly amendment.
Chair, is it appropriate okay for me to respond to Bill, or should I just let it go in terms of voting for the amendment?
I'm sorry, ask that again?
You can let it go.
Is it okay if I respond to Bill?
Don't worry about it. Yeah, we're fine.
There is no need to respond to Bill.
We'll handle that. We'll handle that. That's fine. Yeah.
Yeah, it's no need.
So we had the one amendment. I think I said it wrong, so I apologize. So 41 or 50 was the original statement. Any opposition to that? All right. Now the main motion's been amended. So Member Hirsch's motion to ask our membership for $50 is now $41 or $50 annual. Any opposition to that? Hearing none. So the motion passes, Ellen, that each member will contribute $41 or $50 this year to cover the cost for both our parliamentarian and Zoom account. Okay? All right. Confirmation of committees. I've heard several members tonight state their committee, the desire to join certain committees. I just wanted to make sure we're all on the same page. I'm going to share this real quick, and hopefully everyone can kind of give me their yays or nays. Ellen and I kind of work back and forth, so I do apologize, Ellen, if I got it wrong. But this is what we have so far on our list. There's my guy. All right, hopefully you see your name. And while we're looking at that, quickly tell me if we have it right. So your name should be along the left-hand side. The committee across the top that are available. The X marks the committee you've committed to. And then this is your total commitment for the year. We were asking at the beginning of the year that each member join at least two committees. If this is incorrect, according to who to each member, let Ellen know, then we can go ahead and update this particular document. I'll send this out again. You can take a look at it, but we have everybody's name down the left-hand side, each committee here. This should equal two or more. Some folks have a lot, quite a few. But let's try and get this total commitment of committees to two or more. All right. Any questions on that? All right. Hearing none, I'll expect, when Ellen sends this out, hopefully, you'll get back to her, let her know exactly where you stand in terms of your committee, commitments. We do have to organize our mass committee. So those who are in the, mass committee, there'll be a organizational meeting to get that together to make sure that we're, starting that properly. And, also for the evaluation, Member Williams, Dennis mentioned the evaluation committee. So we'll try to, constitute that. We won't do it tonight, but we do have to put that committee together with membership. If you're wanting to be on that committee, email Ellen as soon as possible. Let her know that you'd like to take part in the evaluation committee. She's going to send out information about what that committee does. But essentially, the evaluation committee is responsible under the bylaws for evaluating both the program director and the general manager on an annual basis. And so we'll send you the information, the bylaws supporting that particular activity for this LSP. Any questions with that? All right, non-disclosure agreements. For those of us, and I'm not sure, our directors didn't mention this, but I've heard it kind of floated around quite a bit in different discussions. If you're involved in a committee that discusses finance, governance, personnel, there's going to be a requirement for you to sign a non-disclosure agreement this year. It hasn't always been the case necessarily. That's gotten down to the LSB level. But with the things kind of working the way they have, it sounds like that is going to become more of a reality for us here locally. So I think more to come on that. I don't think a full decision has been made. But if you're on the finance committee, if you're dealing with personnel, if you're dealing with governance, you're going to be asked when the final version of that non-disclosure agreement comes out, you're going to be asked to actually sign that if you're going to be taking part in those committees. All right, so just want to kind of tee that up. Anyone who's considering joining one of those committees. So evaluation, clearly, you know, a required NDA. Any questions there? Like I said, more to come on what the NDA finally looks like as it comes out. Our directors are working, and I'm sure they'll update us as more information becomes available. All right, lastly. I heard somebody.
I was just going to say the mass committee may also be subject to the NDA.
Yeah, for sure. Yep, you are correct, sir. All right, we had new business from Member Tingling Clemens. I'll share it on the screen, but I believe this went out last month. We didn't get to it. But there, as you all know, there's a climate in the country right now that's been kind of anti free speech, kind of anti the way in which kind of progressive media, if you want to call it that, or let's call it free speech media, has been moving in the country, and the climate is such that it wants a bit of a restriction. You've heard the dialogue about NPR, PBS, some of the other stations that are kind of similar to what Pacifica does. Michelle's kind of taken upon herself, seeing that it's an important issue. I tend to agree with her, but I would like her to kind of go ahead and tee up what she has for us in the way of the future of public / nonprofit media. So, Michelle, are you prepared to bring that forward?
I will do my best.
All right.
Okay. This is actually an effort that a number of us have been started discussing about getting proactive in terms of fighting. We already know that an attack is coming. Specifically was named explicitly in the Project 2025 document. And even though they're confused about where our funding actually comes from, that doesn't mean that they don't have an interest in finding ways to stop or squelch us, because as Kamau correctly summarized, the assaults on freedom of speech are like brash and only growing daily. So this was kind of an effort to try to consolidate some of that thinking. We've had some discussions with some members of a particular BAI, but what we really think is that what would be very helpful, well, first off, we tried to do an assessment of where all the areas where PFW would be impacted, and that's all areas, from station management, LSB, even the CAB, programmers, finances, licensing, from freedom of speech, loss of oversight, staffing, and the fact that they want to come after both our education, broadcasting, and nonprofit status. So our tax deductible contributions, our 501c3 status, all of that, licensing. I mean, and as I think we're learning, some of the stretches of imagination that they're undergoing are kind of go places that we wouldn't have considered. But what we want to do is find ways to emphasize the rights of our listeners to hear and consider the news, information, both on air and in the community. And we want to support creating a network and find nationwide working group involving governance, management, and staff from all 5 stations and community affiliates. So we can quickly develop and iron out a proposal for proactive campaign, you know, including starting from a draft letter to other potential allies, guidelines for assertive programming. And I mean, hopefully get an opportunity to actually read through this, although oftentimes don't get a chance to really talk this out. But that's why we thought that laying it out, trying to put it together in terms of some of our thinking, looking at what we can do and what next steps are we recommend. Well, first we wanted to open the discussion with the LSB to find out if other folks believe it's a serious enough problem for us to engage, and to form a committee that'll proactively solicit initial and ongoing input from interested colleagues, programmers, station management, and paid staff. You know, look at strategies for soliciting ideas, develop and maintain open communications with the other groups within Pacifica addressing this issue. Draft a statement and our motion to share with a few other Pacifica reps working on this issue to review. Explore possibilities for partnerships in the DMV with community groups and community media. Like, you know, I mean, there's no reason why we can't build a partnership with the Washington Informer. I mean, that's definitely a solid partnership, and they've always been a supporter of WPFW. But that's just one example. We know that there's other, you know, low power stations broadcasting. There's all kinds of opportunities, but we need to start thinking proactively about how we're going to defend our right to continue doing what we're doing at WPFW. So I wanted to lay it out and hope I didn't run through it too fast. But time has gotten really short at this meeting. I do want people to have an opportunity to kind of peruse it, think about it, but really to take a look at it. First of all, the people think that this is something important enough for us to take a proactive stance and try to take action ourselves instead of just reacting to the attack.
Thank you, Michelle. We're at time certain. Do I have a motion to extend for 5 minutes just to have a brief discussion and then we can wrap up?
Move to extend.
You want to do 10 minutes or 5 minutes, Dennis?
10.
Motion to extend for 10. Any opposition? Hearing none. Go ahead, Dennis. Mariah now. Go ahead, Mariah.
Oh, you still
have your hand? Okay, sorry about that. Go ahead, Dennis.
Yep. Yeah, I want to make a motion that we charge a temporary committee and ask Michelle to convene all who are interested to look more into this and come back, and we should all read it and think about it. But to come back and make some specific recommendations of action steps for LSB and WPFW membership.
Second.
It's been moved by Member Williams that a temporary committee to explore the future of nonprofit media, as outlined by Member Tingman Clemens, suggested that she head that committee, go out and further explore and come back with recommendations. Seconded by Member Hirsch, I believe. Is that you, Mike? Sounded like.
Yeah.
Thank you. Any discussion?
Great work, Michelle. Thank you.
Any opposition?
As Bernie said today, rally today. It was all of us.
Okay, let me say that again. No discussion. Any opposition to the motion as stated? Hopefully, Ellen, you got that. If not, we'll have to go back. All right, hearing no opposition. Michelle, you've been tasked.
I got it.
You got it? Thank you. Michelle, you've been tasked with forming that committee. You should, solicit as many members or interested members. Please contact Michelle right away if you're interested in working with her. We'll get this document out. We'll have Ellen send this back out to everybody. And as noted in the director's reports, there was some discussion about Project 2025 in a closed session. So we could be on a collision course with some of the activities already kind of done at the national board level. So it's always good to kind of come at things at different directions, different ideas, different processes. So hopefully that group working with Michelle et al. Will come back with us with some strong recommendations for us. All right.
And volunteers.
Absolutely. Absolutely. All right. I just want to do one bit of house cleaning before we wrap up on this action item. Ellen, could you please mark Member Ramey as excused for this evening?
Yes.
Thank you. My reason for that, and I've, been cautioned and properly so, that, in the fairness and due process, that should be done. Whatever the issue is, there is an excuse for it. He should be excused for this evening. So, Ellen will mark that for him, in the role for tonight. Okay. Anything else on our action item summary? I think that was everything.
Yes, I have a question. I don't want to take a lot of time, but what is the process? What will the board be doing? What is our role? As short as you can make it, regarding this issue about one member.
Short as I can make it, essentially, when there's violations of this particular, rules committee, developed here, there's a step process that elevates that to a one step. And then there's a, second step that, requires a, two-thirds vote, we'll put it that way. I did outline that in a letter to the membership, and so hopefully you all have an opportunity to read that and get back to me with specific questions. But in essence, the process is for us to have a closed session, what we will do in our April meeting, and have our member fully defend the charges presented against him, and he'll be able, he or she will be able to, you know, have that, litigated in our closed session.
Great. Thanks.
Yeah. No problem. All right. I think that's everything. Anything I
move to adjourn?
A second.
Any opposition?
No.
Hearing none. We'll see you all. Thanks, everybody. See you in the committees.
Thank you. And, good night.
Thanks,
y'all. Thank you all.
Good job, y'all.
Good night, everybody. Yes. Take care. Bye.
Michelle, put me on your committee.
Got you.
Me too, Michelle. Pinch back.
I got you. I saw you.
Great meeting, guys. You really rock.
Thanks.